about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
No way. No way. No way this can happen in our city. No. Young kids, you gotta understand something.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
What talks and talks but has no tongue? You can tune the dials to stations 10 through 1, and it gets AM and FM signals. Your time starts now.
A radio.
Oh, wow. I didn't think you'd get your answer so quickly. But they only get harder from here.
Let me just think of another one.
Please don't.
They might not be able to dance or sing, but when it comes to new directions of the female persuasion...
And now...
Well, I just wanted to say a friendly hello in an unfriendly way. Hello.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It's Thursday. It is the 30th of April.
Yes, this year is just flying on by, isn't it?
It's practically Christmas.
I know it is.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Always in my house. Allie, was that excitement over Christmas I just heard?
I think they're going to hate me even more.
Yeah, it's She Bean. It's She Bean all over again. Yeah.
She Bean. I love She Bean.
Yeah.
It's nice to finally have some support in this room, I'll tell you that.
Right.
So used to having everybody be against me.
Is however, that what it was like? However, it's what? Not where you want to be. I'm just telling you that right now.
Actually, a guy tweeted me. He's like, you're always on Bean's side, and he's the meanest to you. I'm like, right? What is that?
Will Allie one day as an old woman realize, look back on her life and realize she was on the wrong side of history? Is that
Probably.
What you're suggesting, Kevin?
No.
She's going to be like, how could I have been for slavery? That's what it's going to be like for her. Hey, here's a story to get us started. It's been a long time since we've had one of these. Kevin, I think you're going to be able to see almost immediately where this one's headed. It comes from a TV station, a CBS TV station near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Jesus and Toast.
A fast delivery.
No, not Jesus and
okay,
Toast.
Sorry.
A fast delivery in the parking lot of a local fast food restaurant. When paramedics arrived, there was a baby ready to be born. But that's not the most surprising part. Bob Allen reports.
Kevin, what's the most surprising part about the baby born in the parking lot of the Wendy's in Pittsburgh?
It's not the most surprising part.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
As we have discussed many times on this program before, the woman didn't know she was pregnant.
Oh, still, that never comes to my mind because that's absurd.
It's crazy.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
Can't imagine.
Happens often.
Not
all the time, but often enough that, you know, I see it a few times a year.
Not to be a dick, but I sort of understand it if somebody's super overweight because you don't notice maybe. But other than that, I can't.
If weight gain is the only measure of being pregnant, but what about all the other things that happen to a woman's body? What about the fact that once a month she's reminded that she's not pregnant? What about that?
I can't help you with that.
Well, let's hear the riveting report from the station in Pittsburgh.
Workers at the Wendy's restaurant on Browns Hill Road will never forget how their day began this morning. It started when firefighters and paramedics showed up in the parking lot and surrounded a woman in her car. The restaurant general manager, who does not want to be identified, decided to go out and check on the situation.
Why do you suppose she wouldn't want to be identified, by the way? She didn't impregnate the lady.
Maybe
they
she did.
They interviewed her showing her feet on the TV.
Witness relocation.
You think maybe she's got a warrant out for arrest or something like that?
I don't know that I'd go right for that, but I would guess that she can't speak for the company. I would guess that's a rule.
Oh, that's good, Kevin.
Right?
But she's just describing what happened in the parking lot, right? She's not setting prices or
I didn't say she's setting prices, but I'm saying
policy.
You and I both
know.
No,
I'm saying it's not company business, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. I have too many questions when I watch the news. It's such a frustrating experience.
Just settle for what you get, and let's move on.
So here's her feet on the screen, and she's talking about what happened.
Seeing something, you know, that early in the morning, you know, you're going to go on and make sure everything's okay. And that's when, you know, they asked me, well, the one lady said to me that the lady had, I think she had a baby.
The woman showed up in the car with a man driving and three small children in the back.
Oh. Okay, I have more questions now.
What a poor decision maker this is.
Now, we don't know, because the news doesn't tell us anything, we don't know whether those three children were her children or
not. We know.
It's,
wait,
it's
where
possible
was it?
They weren't.
Where was it?
Pittsburgh. But if they were her children, aren't you now further surprised that she didn't know she was pregnant?
Yeah, she should know what a baby cooking inside you feels like.
Yeah, that's
so weird. Three small kids, by the way. So, good choice. I think I'm with you, Kevin.
Apparently, they were trying to get to a hospital, but the woman gave birth in the front seat of the car before paramedics arrived.
When I went out, that's when they were putting the baby in the blanket and they had the placenta in the bag. Okay.
But a woman giving birth in the front seat of a car in the parking lot wasn't the biggest surprise.
She said she did not know she was pregnant.
I love how the news makes us wait for a minute and 10 seconds to tell us that, by the way.
But that wasn't the biggest surprise.
It's hard to believe, but I guess it happens.
Well, the names of the mother and the baby have not been released, and we're told they're doing well.
By the way, the mother's name is Dumbass, and the baby's name is Another Mistake.
Oh, I like to call it a nice surprise. That's what my mom said I was.
At McGee Women's Hospital, this is the fourth time paramedics have treated a mother who gave birth before reaching the hospital. Reporting live in Oakland, Bob Allen, KDKA, TV News.
Thanks, Bob. Wow. So it's been a while, but we might have to put that back on the docket for a Kevin Bean phone topic, because we've done this before, Allie, and we have talked to people who have been through it and talked to people who had family members who have been through it.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane, and we don't understand it, but it seems to happen a lot.
It does happen, yeah. Wow. So, good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I cannot endorse that message, but I do acknowledge it.
On the program today, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith. He is going to be talking about draft day in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's draft day. I may not be knowledgeable enough about college players to get excited beyond, I don't know, the second or third round, maybe tops. Doesn't it go on for like 25 rounds?
Yeah, it takes forever.
Yeah, it takes weeks, right? Yeah. It seems like.
I sort of lose interest after the first round.
Because you know the big names,
right?
And you want to see where they're going. But beyond that, I guess this is an in-the-weeds thing for just diehards, I guess.
And they might not be the most impressive one, you know, in their career, but you don't know most of the people in the second round, third round.
And then you get super excited, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, they were just traded?
Hey, but Johnny Manziel.
What the?
Exactly, yeah.
Also on the program today, Ali interviews every single cast member of the Avengers.
That's really impressive. Not even.
When you sit down with the Hulk and Captain America, I'm like, what? Girl's got skills.
That's right.
No.
It's crazy.
It is.
So we'll play those highlights today.
Or craft services on one of their movies.
Not even.
We got Dr. Drew on the program today. We have Dennis Hoff, who runs the Bunny Ranch. And he's going to be telling us about hookers for Hillary.
Huh.
Okay.
Huh. The elections are on. This is the only way we want to talk about it. Hookers for Hillary. Jim Rome will be here talking sports. Joe Levy will be here talking about Tidal and other streaming services.
Ooh, what about the back rage?
What about the back rage, indeed?
He is the, if there's anyone out there who doesn't recognize Mr. Levy's name, he's the editor of Billboard magazine.
And there are cannabis treats for dogs. So we'll get to all that. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I can't hear things.
Well, what are you doing?
Wow.
What happened?
What did I say?
I'm mean.
What did I say that was so bad?
I can't repeat what you said.
What did I say that was so bad?
I can't repeat it. But you can't say it.
Although our streaming listeners enjoyed hearing it.
Fix my thing because it's broken.
Penis.
Poor child.
Exactly. Hey, Rob is here. It's hard to believe, but he's here with his first look at the Showbiz Beat, and he's happy to be so on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
Oh, I got to tell you something. How am I going to find out how revenge ends now? How am I going to find out?
Right?
Apparently there was some show called Revenge on ABC that got canceled.
Okay.
Somebody's upset about it.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't it been on for like 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
You watch
about it,
Allie?
Sounds like Allie watched it.
I do.
Was it good?
I loved it.
Okay.
Well, it's gone. So suck on that.
Well, we've got, I think, 2 more episodes.
The series finale will air on May the 10th. You're right, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happens. Is this going to be a problem? Are there plot lines that need to be wrapped up, sewn up?
Well,
snipped up?
We don't know.
Tied up.
One of the main people has indeed died in a fire, or if she's just setting up Emily, and she's in.
I'm sorry, I asked.
My guess is she's setting up Emily.
Yeah, because Emily's in jail now.
Right, you don't have to tell me.
Don't worry about the spoilers, by the way. Like, there's a main person who with the thing
and
the
Sunday.
I don't know. Whatever, just let it go. It's over. Let it go. Feel free. Let him just rip him off and let him fly.
What are you talking about now?
What?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't drink in the morning.
Yes, you should.
David Letterman is going to have the First Lady on his show. That's pretty cool. He was also talked about in a recent interview about the choice to who should take over his late night show upon his retirement. And he said that he always thought it was going to be Jon Stewart.
Oh, this is the Stephen Colbert thing?
Stephen Colbert is taking over for David Letterman.
And he
yes.
thought it was going to be Jon Stewart.
He said, I always thought Jon Stewart would be a good choice. And then Stephen. He said to the New York Times.
That's nice.
Sure, Stephen Colbert is happy to read that. It'll be very interesting to see what Colbert will do, he said, regarding the new show premiering on September the 8th. Dave's last show is scheduled for Wednesday, May 20th. So circle your calendars for the very last David Letterman show.
The other part of that paragraph that I thought was so interesting in that New York Times piece is that nobody ever asked David Letterman who he thought, who he would like to see succeed him on the air.
I thought that was sort of his time slot to pick.
And he said he was a little, I don't think he has any ownership of that show, does he, Ralph?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. So he said.
Worldwide Pants is the producer of that show, but.
But he doesn't own the time slot.
He doesn't own the slot. Yeah. CBS's pick.
So I was surprised to see they didn't come to him. Just as a guy who knows a lot about late-night TV and a professional, I thought they would ask him. He said they didn't. They never asked me who I wanted to do it or who I thought should do it. And he said, but you know what? It's not my time, so it's their show, I guess. Good luck.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would ask him.
Really? I would think you would be interested in his opinion. He knows what it takes to do a job like that better than anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just surprised.
I don't think... If a guy's on his way out, you go to him to find his replacement. I mean, you're the ones who are going to be stuck with whatever you put in there for the remainder of your time. He's off the hook.
Right.
His involvement is negligible. So I would be more concerned with folks who have to stick around and move forward from there and what their thoughts are.
I would put on that haircutting challenge with Cedric the Entertainer,
yes,
whatever that
they
is.
They should have just put Barber Battle in that slot.
Put that right on.
Crush the competition.
By the way, with so few shows left and space at a premium, Dave is bringing back some of his favorite guests of all time, you know, in these final weeks. You know who the musical guest is on? Is it tonight that Michelle Obama stops by?
Slim Whitman.
I'm sorry, sorry, Mr. Whitman is no longer
Slim
with
Whitman?
Us. But
no?
Close.
Oh.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie.
What?
They're getting back
the
together again?
Yes.
Wait, Hootie's not with the Blowfish.
Hootie
yes,
dropped
getting back
the Blowfish.
Together for Dave.
Wow.
Huh.
That is awful.
Yeah, what?
That's what's happening.
Why?
I guess Dave's having his favorites back. Like, he just had Elvis Costello on last week. I mean, I guess he's just going through, you know, the
he got
the
back
bands
together.
I guess
himself?
He's just going through his favorite bands over the years. And
but one of his favorite
them.
Bands is Hootie and the Blowfish?
Apparently
well,
so.
Well, I'm glad Dave's leaving television then.
Wow.
Because he's awful. He's an awful person, if that's the truth. He's just hideous. He's a hideous man on every level. And Jeannie Francis is coming back to General Hospital.
Woo!
Woo! The return of Laura Spencer, bitches. Boop-a-doo! Whoop-de-woo!
I didn't know she wasn't on the show anymore.
You son of a bitch.
I thought she was back. Has been back for a long time.
Oh. I didn't know the show was on anymore.
You goddamn bastard. All of yous.
Jeannie Francis!
I'm just saying, Laura Spencer. Luke's on the show. Anthony Geary's still been on the show all this time.
Sure.
Luke and Lark getting back together again?
Right.
Come on. Are you with me? Right?
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Luke.
Yeah.
I was pretty hot for Laura back in the day. How about you, Ralph?
Yeah.
She's
Think
attractive.
Of Laura.
That's right.
Is that,
that
about
song?
Her?
Yes.
Wow.
Chris Cross wrote that for General Hospital.
Christopher Cross.
Chris Cross?
No, because then I
Make
think.
Make you wanna. And it's an unexpected. Back rage that came about from
Shut up, Ralph.
Bruce Jenner's interview with Diane Sawyer.
For folks who weren't with us at the end of the show yesterday, Kevin has coined a new term that I think is going to be very useful for
it's
us.
Catch it on.
It's back rage, which is a combination of backlash and rage.
And outrage, yeah.
Okay. Backlash and outrage.
Yeah.
It's back rage.
Back rage. Saves
like
time.
It does save time, and I'm never going to stop using it. Unexpected back rage. From some people regarding the Bruce Jenner interview with Diane Sawyer. As you can imagine, not everybody is open-minded as some, which is shocking. But a lot of people are disassociating themselves with Bruce Jenner memorabilia, they say.
What?
I'm not going to keep this memorabilia. I'm selling this now. I'm not going to.
You mean private collectors are doing that? Like,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
Shops.
But the upside is you can get a ton of really great Bruce Jenner merch on eBay right now. How about the winning box, the Wheaties box, rather, with him winning the gold decathlon medal in 1976, the legendary Wheaties box.
Got to be the most famous Wheaties box ever.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's a ton of them now on eBay you could pick up. Refrigerator magnets with his Playgirl cover. He was in Playgirl magazine. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. He can pad those pictures and put them up on the wall and say, oh, remember my penis?
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Vintage Sports Illustrated issues, trading cards, things like that. Things from back in the day when he was an Olympic hero.
So you've held on to that for 25 years or more?
And some collectors say, no, I don't want it anymore.
I don't even understand that.
I don't either.
Well, is it possible that they're saying, I like this, I still like Bruce Jenner, but he's so hot right now, I can make a lot of money.
No, some people are cashing in by selling this stuff, but that, interview I read, Bean, were specific about people, collectors, who are disassociating themselves with Bruce Jenner because they're upset with his decision.
Yeah, they don't admire him anymore now.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Wow.
Which I think is ridiculous, even for back rage. Today's celebrity birthdays. Diana Agron from Glee. She's 29 years old today. Gal Gadot.
Wow.
Wonder Woman in the upcoming Superman vs. Batman, as Muggs would say. 30 years old today. Kirsten Dunst, 33 years old. Kunal Nayar. Raj from The Big Bang Theory, he's 34. Johnny Galecki, also from Big Bang Theory, he's 40 years old today. And actor Adrian Pasdar, you can see in these days on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 50 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Matt Money Smith, who we know and love as part of the Petros Money radio show on AM 570, LA Sports, is also an NFL Network employee and the fantasy analyst there, and he's covering the draft on that channel along with the rest of the team, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
What's happening, Bean? Hey, Kevin.
Hey there. Why?
Hold on. Before you start, I just realized this. I did not think about this until you started talking. I don't know if you remember, but let's see. The wife and I got married in 99, and the only time she ever made an on-air appearance is when you found out the morning after our wedding – I insisted we sit in our hotel room and watch the NFL draft.
Yeah, horrible. That's you are true. A horrible man.
That is. And here I am. And you know what? That was a hell of a draft, by the way. That was the Donovan McNabb, Cade McNown, Dante Culpepper.
No one cares about that. Draft. But the fact is that she stood by you.
Yeah, here we are, man. Okay. We just celebrated number 16.
The day after your wedding.
Wow.
This is the key, people. You let them know what they're getting into. You don't let them change you and then revert back 3 years. That's why you get the six-year or seven-year or whatever it is itch.
Where was your honeymoon?
You're going to love this, Allie. You ready?
Yeah.
She's like, well, my beach. And I said, what is this? We live on the beach. We're going to Canada. And we got
Canada.
I made her cry the first day of our honeymoon because we arrived in Banff. And Lake, it's a famous ski resort town kind of deal. Lake Louise got like 7 feet of powder that morning. And she's like, my legs are so tired. I'm going, listen, this is unbelievable powder. We're not getting off this mountain. You want to sit in the lodge, you sit in the lodge.
Sounds magical.
I love that you did everything you could to drive her away from the first second she married you.
Hey, Money, draft, the 80th annual NFL draft, is in Chicago this year. It's always been in New York. Literally, like every year until now, it's been in New York. Why did they make the move?
It's the first time it's in Chicago since 63, actually.
So
big deal. It's been 50 years. They made the move because, well, at least the NFL's position is timing, and there is something to that. The Rockettes are in Radio City Music Hall. They've always had to navigate around that. Last year, they pushed it a couple weeks because the Rockettes started their season early.
Gotcha.
And they were tired of
doing... I like that the NFL has to take a back seat to the Rockettes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Exactly. The only thing more powerful than the NFL are those beautiful legs kicking in.
All right. Some drafts are chock full of superstars. Some are kind of duds and very few players that are memorable come out of it. But it's always difficult to tell on the day of the draft which one it's going to be because you just don't know the future, right?
Yeah, this one, you know, it's usually the quarterbacks. Do you have a good quarterback in the draft at the top, and could there be a trade for someone going to get one of those quarterbacks if there's more than one? And that's typically what makes the first round sexy. This one, it's somewhere in the middle. You've got Jameis Winston. Heisman. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's very sexy in terms of quarterbacks because you have two Heisman Trophy winners that are expected to go number one and number two, Jameis Winston from Florida State and Marcus Mariota from the University of Oregon. And I guess also compounding the excitement is that the team that's picking number two reportedly does not want Marcus Mariota, so that pick is up for auction.
Oh.
And the one team, I mean, that really would lead this to be a draft where people lose their minds is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Because they don't have enough quarterbacks?
Yeah, they need another one.
Listen, they only have five, right? They only have five right now. But Chip Kelly is the guy that ran that Oregon offense, that changed college football, that made it exciting. I mean, it made it must-watch TV.
And he loves this kid, right?
Loves the kid. Said he's the absolute perfect quarterback. I mean, would take him over Jameis. Would take him over any quarterback in the world. And already late last night, you started hearing that they are exploring every avenue, every possible scenario where they could get up to that number two pick.
It's unbelievable, Money, to see how many moves have to happen. It's like watching chess to see all the trades that have to happen and how many teams have to be involved for something like this to happen. But they make a ton, I mean, they make a ton of deals. That's what they do. That's what the draft's all about.
Philadelphia picks 20th.
They pick 20th, but as Bean just mentioned, earlier in the offseason, they acquired Sam Bradford, a former number one pick from the Rams.
Oh, I see.
You take Sam Bradford, who's not going to be your starting quarterback because you're going to draft Marcus Mariota. You send him somewhere. A lot of people think Cleveland. Then you get their number 12 pick. Then you send that with your number 20 in a first round next year.
Is it possible Chip Kelly knows what he's doing?
It's very possible. It doesn't, whether or not he knew the second he got in the car and turned the key, I don't know, but now that we're on this road, it looks as though he may end up at the destination where he intended to
go all along.
Let me ask you about a couple of other players. Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin Beach Show talking about the NFL draft, which starts tonight. You can see it, of course, on NFL Network. What about another very popular college player that we all fell in love with through the playoffs, Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin? What's he likely to do?
Yeah, he's going to go, everybody in the NFL or that covers the NFL talks about nobody cares about running backs anymore. Well, they do. They just have to be really good, and then they'll care. And Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley, the two running backs that are going to be selected today, are both really, really good. There's no question the Cowboys, who basically rode DeMarco Murray, their running back, into the playoffs, who's now a Philadelphia Eagle, would love to get their hands on one of those two. He's not going to last. I think you'll probably see Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley, one of those two, end up with, I guess we would call them our San Diego Chargers. They desperately need a running back to help Phillip Rivers out. He's not getting traded, and I could see Melvin Gordon ended up there if he's sitting there for him at number 16.
All right, I have one other question for you, Money, about the veteran players. How much say do they have in where they get traded? I'm not talking about draft players now. I'm talking about trades. Like, for instance, we're hearing that Bruce Irvin wants to go to the Atlanta Falcons because that's where he's from, and he used to work with the defensive coordinator there and stuff. Are you allowed to say where you want to go and they trade you there?
You are allowed. Whether or not they do, I can't say. I mean, you're not. It's not like the NBA where Carmelo Anthony says to Denver, I'm going to New York or nowhere else, because free agency isn't a big deal in the NFL. You don't have a guaranteed salary. They can cut you. Bruce Irvin hasn't lived up to his first round, billing when he was selected by the Seahawks, and they're just as content to say, didn't work out, see you later, as opposed to giving him his wish of going to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, in the case of Phillip Rivers, where reportedly he said to San Diego, hey, I want to go to Tennessee. It's 150 miles from where I grew up in Alabama. Because Tennessee has the number two pick, they may try to make that work if they really like Marcus Mariota. So for something like that, if the football team gets back what they want from the team where the player wants to go, they'll do it. But otherwise, gotcha. They will not go out of their way to help someone out.
The other thing that I love about the draft is these players that have gotten to the top of the college game and are now entering the pros, and then they get picked by most times the worst team.
Yeah.
That's got to suck.
That's Jameis Winston's going to go to. But then you look at Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, the quarterback from Stanford, who's now the quarterback. Think about what Andrew Luck walked into, which is why it is arguably the most remarkable early career we've ever seen from a player. Peyton Manning leaves, is kicked out of Indianapolis. The man that built that franchise. His popularity built them a brand new stadium. His image is 60 feet tall on the side of it, and they say, yeah, that guy, we don't want him anymore. We're going to draft this. We got the number one pick. We're going to take this kid, Andrew Luck. So he goes to the worst team in the NFL, they kick out a legend, and all he does is take them to the playoffs immediately.
Yeah.
And last year has them in the conference championship game.
Yep. Yep, well, that's right.
I saw some of the coverage on the NFL Network, and Jim Kelly is talking about when he was drafted, and he did not want to go to the Buffalo Bills. It would be the worst thing that would happen to him. He publicized it. He said, I'm not going to go there, no matter what, and he ended up playing his career there.
Well, you know what, though? So much so that he didn't go there. He ended up going to the USFL for a while.
But he ended up there. Even after saying no to the NFL and going to the USFL or whatever it was.
Happened. I mean, it happened with John Elway. John Elway was drafted by the Colts. He said, double middle finger, screw you guys, I'm going to play baseball. And they traded him to the Broncos. Remember Eli Manning's super sad pouty face when the Chargers selected him? That's always his face.
Yeah, that is his normal face.
So, Matt, the other part, as we say goodbye, sir, and we really appreciate you squeezing us in, we know how busy you are today, that I love about the draft is seeing all those kids' living rooms and how many people they cram into some of those, you know, 14-square-foot living rooms in front of the TV waiting for that phone call.
And seeing the girlfriends that you know.
And the girlfriends, yeah.
The girlfriends that will never make it.
Here's my favorite thing about that. When you watch today, watch to see where their mother is or their wife or their baby mom or their girlfriend, whoever it may be, and then see where their agent is. Their agent always has the premier position A seat. Ahead of mom, ahead of grandma, ahead of the wife, ahead of the child. The agent is always the one that's right next to him.
All right, what time does it all start tonight? When can we see you on the NFL Network?
5 p.m. Coverage, it's on right now. You know, pre-draft coverage. But 5 p.m., I get it going. You'll be able to see me across all of your connected devices, your phone for NFL Mobile, your Xbox for NFL. NFL.com will stream it live everywhere and anywhere. We are doing 256 picks between today and Saturday evening. Allie, don't you give me that. Listen, I can feel you judging me in my relationship through the phone, and I don't appreciate it.
Money,
I was up front. I was up front with what life was going to be like with me, okay?
Money, have you called your wife from the NFL studios and said, I just want to remind you that the first day after we got married, we were watching the draft. Now I'm working at the NFL Network.
You know what? I think what we both agree is that it's remarkable that our career as a married couple has gone so much better than Cade McNown's did for the Chicago Bears.
Oh.
You know, just how much more we did with our career than he did.
Matt, you're the best, man. Have fun today. We'll look for you.
All right. See you guys.
Hey, don't forget the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Ticket on sale fast approaching tomorrow at noon. K-Rock Street team members can still sign up, by the way, to get that password. And you buy the tickets when they go on sale. The show is May 16th at the Irvine Meadows. All the details at krock.com.
So you know how people use medical marijuana? A lot of times they're sick. A lot of times they're nauseous. They don't have an appetite. They're in pain. And that helps.
Mm-hmm. It has been it's been remarkable how helpful that has been for so many patients who have tried everything else that Big Pharma has to offer, no good, and then all of a sudden they try the medical marijuana and it just makes them feel so much better. It's great.
Now, is it also great for dogs? Because there's a company named Treatables that infuse dog treats with cannabis.
Dogs
that are going through problems, they have pain, maybe they don't have an appetite, same things.
I don't see why the physiology would be that different between a dog and a human. I think in a lot of cases that probably would work. What's been the reaction to people giving their dogs pot?
I don't know for sure, but we actually have the company on the line. If you want to talk to them, we can talk to Juliana Carella from Treatables.
I love it.
Hello.
Miss Carella, thank you for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hello.
Yes. Is this Juliana?
No, man. She's not here right now. Can I take a message?
Who's this? Are you her assistant?
No, man. Woof.
You're her dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
Cliff.
Cliff.
Cliff? Okay.
Yeah, man.
Could we ask you some questions about Treatables?
Yeah, I love those things, man. Hold on.
Sounds like maybe you have enough.
What are you eating?
That's a Treatable.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
The article in front of me says Treatables have reported a host of benefits, including reduced pain.
Dude, woof.
Right.
You said woof.
We heard you, yeah.
All right, man. All right.
Reduced pain, inflammation, and separation anxiety.
Yeah.
It can generally give a dog a calm feeling, which is great around the 4th of July and during thunderstorms, which a lot of dogs have problems
with. It's great on a Thursday, too. That's right, man. Everything you said is right about these things, like separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. Man, Julianne leaves, I don't even care anymore, man. I'm like, all right, see ya, have a good day, whatever. Oh, ooh, hey, there's the mailman. What's up, dude? What's up, mailman?
Wow, the mailman's going to be very happy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Now, I have to ask you this. I'm sorry, what's your name again, Julianne's dog?
Cliff.
Cliff, I apologize.
Clifford. That's it. Yes.
Clifford.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. With humans, sometimes the marijuana makes them very hungry. How does that work with dogs?
When I have one of these treatables, I want to eat another treatable, man. It's weird. It makes me hungry, too.
Right, but you probably shouldn't keep eating those.
Yeah, there's a limit to how many you can have. It'll still be healthy.
And the more I eat, the more I want to eat, man.
Right.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Hold on a second, the cat. Hey, what's up, cat?
What?
Wow.
Man.
Really
aren't you
chill.
Supposed to attack?
Dude, look at your tail's looking excellent.
Wow. All right. He is a chill dog. Wow.
He is chill, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
okay. So how do you spend your days, Cliff? You just sit around listening to Pink Floyd, or what do you do?
Oh, lick my balls.
Okay, I'm out.
The editor of Billboard magazine talks what's up with the music business in the 7 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, we have a very very sad Nick the Window Licker that we have to talk to just after 7 as well.
Yeah.
Tragedy. And this is not just trying to get the Playboy Club back on TV. He had something bad go down. So we're going to try to talk Nick back from the ledge. That's coming up. But first, Allie, I understand a couple of weeks ago, while we were in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact, for our big ceremony, you had yourself a pretty big night, right?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Allie comes from TV, and she may not have understood what we have dealt with for a long time, and that's that when you're on a red carpet at a movie premiere or any event, it's TV, 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 foreign TV, 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 and then it's like podcast.
Cable access TV.
Cable access. And then at the very end is radio.
Yeah.
After high school newspapers.
Pretty much. High school newspapers.
Yeah. So I didn't know.
So we sent her down there going, hey, get us the cast of the Avengers. So she went down there all ready to go and talked to Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson and Chris Hemsworth, the whole group.
Right.
Sure.
And I'm going to play a little game now, Bean. I'm going to start an interview, and then we're going to ask Allie, how could you – first of all, who are you talking to? And how could you have possibly, no matter how long the conversation went, how could you possibly end up talking about this topic?
How dare you.
It's a little look into the mind of Allie. All right. So let's begin.
Love. Rose petals. Long walks on the beach.
Unicorns. Yeah.
Okay, so how did that come about?
How wouldn't it?
It sounds like a Tinder date to me.
I'd swipe, right? I was talking to a man named Eldon Henson. You might know him from The Hunger Games. And now he's on Daredevil. He plays Foggy Nelson.
Okay.
I had not watched Daredevil yet. This was 2 days after it had just been released on Netflix. So I couldn't really chat with him about that. But I know about unicorns.
Love. Rose petals. Long walks on the beach.
Unicorns.
Sunset. Definitely unicorns. Yeah, I love unicorns. I would love to make a movie about unicorns one day.
I wasn't sure where you were going when you said I'd love to make, and then you paused.
Yeah, I was going to say make love to unicorns. Or have a unicorn make love to me. Either one. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah, I just love unicorns.
All right, so that happened.
See? I mean, we connected on a level. I'm not sure what level.
I'm not sure either.
But
you have an interesting mind.
That was the most unicorn talk going on anywhere on that Avengers red carpet, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Might have been.
You were holding down that topic by yourself. Who were you talking to when you said...
What is a gang of ants called? Well, obviously, I'm talking to someone from Ant-Man.
Okay, right? That's a legitimate question.
Right,
there.
Because...
It's just somebody from Ant-Man, or is it Ant-Man?
No, it's definitely not...
Not Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, that would be Paul Rudd, and he wasn't talking to me.
Yeah.
No, it was David Desmalchian, who's a lovely man, but I was curious, like, hey, you're an Ant-Man, you play an ant, do you look at ants differently? Like, what are picnics like for you now?
Bean, would you have ever asked that question?
I probably wouldn't have thought of it, but I support it. I think it's a
legitimate
question.
What is a gang of ants called?
That's a colony. Yeah. I was with the colony today. We were down in our little, place, just hanging out, and and watching YouTube.
Do you look at ants differently now?
I do. I have a newfound respect for ants, especially bullet ants. I never knew that there was a thing called a bullet ant or how much pain a bullet ant can inflict on the human body. It's pretty terrifying what a bullet ant can do. And you'll see July 17th.
Boom, plug. Nice.
You're not going to get that on E!
Boom.
You know?
That's very true.
Yeah.
I could talk to that guy for probably a half hour and not come up with that question.
Wow.
All right. Who's interviewing you?
Cape or tights?
Ooh, I'm going to go with tights. Those are a couple guys from the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Brett Dalton and BJ Britt. They had finally had it at that point on the red carpet. And they're like, just give me your mic. Let me ask you some questions.
So they literally took your mic and asked you questions.
Yeah.
Okay. So now their first question is.
Cape or tights?
Ooh, I'm going to go with tights. You know what you're working with.
Thong or fullback?
I'm going to go fullback because nobody needs... I wasn't done.
Oh, go ahead.
How dare you, BJ? No one needs something up their butt as a dude. You know what I'm saying?
I think we do.
I'm in underwear, so...
I think we do, and okay. We support that.
Yeah.
How do you argue with that point?
Yeah. At that point, it was so hot.
Yeah.
And I was just sad.
And Chris Evans wasn't coming by?
Not even
Jeremy
little...
Renner?
Oh, no, they were coming by.
Oh, they were.
And hightailing it into
yes.
the theater at that point.
That's
yeah.
what happens. Who are you talking to, and how does this come up?
Where did Charlie Brown get that pube?
Where did Charlie Brown get that pube?
Let's see if we can imagine how that question could ever be asked. Like, are there... What was the bigger topic?
That's my point, is like, how does her mind work that she can ever get around to where did Charlie Brown get that pube?
I'm going to have to ask you to go back in time.
Okay.
A couple years. It was a wonderful sketch on SNL. There was a movie reviewer named Jebediah Atkinson, and he would review movies, just an old-time movie reviewer.
Okay.
And he was doing Christmas movies, and he brought up the Peanuts movie and how Charlie Brown looks like he has a pube on his head.
Oh, so you're actually referencing something that this guy said.
He did
two
say
or
it,
3 years ago.
And his name would be Taron Killam. And he was there to support his wife, who was in the movie. And God knows I wasn't going to get her. So
this conversation happened.
Where did Charlie Brown get that pube?
Could be a dog pube. And then it's a little bit more endearing. But no?
No, that works. That would be Snoopy's
reality,
pube.
Then. No, that's a great point.
I mean... You're, again, not going to get that on Access Hollywood.
Again, that is a unique line of questioning.
Yeah.
And finally.
Yeah.
Finally, this sentence was said.
Hi, I'm a friend of Swampies. Yeah. At that point, when people.
Who says, hi, I'm a friend of Swampies?
When people are running past you and you think, well, maybe if I yell out a mutual friend's name, my friend Swampy Marsh created Phineas and Ferb.
Which you did a voice for.
Yes. Which okay. this guy also did a voice for.
Okay.
Who was in the first Avengers movie.
Yes.
And he's lovely.
Uh-huh.
Clark
he's,
Gregg. And
Clark Gregg.
And
there
then,
you go.
Yeah.
How
and then,
exciting.
And then I asked him this. Hi, I'm a friend of Swampies. He loves you.
That's
Swampy Marsh.
That's a big deal to
That's
me.
A big deal. That's
yeah,
why I got you
absolutely.
Over here. How are you feeling going in tonight?
You know, I'm psyched. There's no pressure on me. I'm not in this.
So you got that going.
Yeah, so he's not even in.
Not in the movie.
But wanted to know, you know, your thoughts going in.
Are You're you... on a TV show that's sort of about these guys.
Well, he's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right.
which his character was also the same as in Avengers.
Yes.
I'm not good.
Well, I mean, we sort of set you up in that we knew you would get no one.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. At the end of all of this, when I switched the microphone off.
Yeah. Did you curse our names?
No, I literally thought to myself, I hope I turned that on correctly.
Oh,
I
didn't
know if
know.
Anything would be there.
And yeah, it's there. It's there.
Yeah, it
you
is.
You asked
and
about
we,
Charlie Brown's pubes.
I mean, we can delete that
and
if you
Swampy,
want at this point.
You got to be beer mug for a night.
It was a new low.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage.
That's back rage.
We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I'm guessing I meant backlash.
That was A Moment
yeah.
with Kevin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hall of Fame!
Yep.
That's it, man.
That's it.
Hey,
what?
How about Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat?
Okay.
And then we catch up with our friend Nick after that.
All right.
How about that?
Beans in a hurry. Just moving things along.
Revenge has been canceled on ABC, if you're a fan of that show. Sorry. 4 seasons it was on the air, though, so that had that going for it.
And you finally heard about it today.
Yeah, and now I know there's a show on ABC called Revenge. The season finale on May 10th will also be the series finale as well. And while we're talking about canceled programs, they're starting to fall. This is that time of year where they've given things shots as we head into the summer, and they're going to start reevaluating their lineups. Sci-Fi has canceled Helix. Aww. If you're a Helix fan at all.
I like that. I know I'm
but
the majority there.
Sci-Fi has canceled Helix after 2 seasons. The drama, which starred Billy Campbell, who I like a lot, and other people, about a life-threatening disease outbreak in the Arctic.
Did you watch any of season 2, Ralph?
I didn't.
It was just an acid trip from hell.
Oh, really?
They would go ahead in time 1,000 years and then go back 1,000 years.
What the heck?
I was just trying to
figure
out.
Well, no wonder it got canceled.
What's going on in the show?
No one can follow it.
Yeah, a little crazy.
While we're talking television, tonight on FX, The Comedians is on. Watch the show. If you're not watching the show, watch the show. It's my favorite new comedy.
That's Josh Gad.
Oh, it makes me laugh out loud. Billy Crystal. Josh Gad. I know you think Billy Crystal, like, oh, really, Billy Crystal? Because he does, like, you know, old man comedy. He has reinvented himself with this show. I think it's so funny. It's brought to you by Larry Charles, who also was behind Curb Your Enthusiasm and some of your favorite comedies. It's really well done, and I really am enjoying it. So
the dynamic between the two of them is
they're terrific
amazing.
Together. Josh Gad is just hilarious, and Billy's a lot hipper and cooler than you think. You know, he hasn't had a chance to be that in a long time.
Yeah, true.
So it's nice to see. This is a fascinating development for me, that Netflix and its ilk are having a real influence on traditional TV networks. NBC has announced they are going to air their David Duchovny drama, Aquarius, which I can't wait to see. It's about the L.A. Police Department in the 60s investigating early Manson family activity. This is before the big event that got everyone's attention with Helter Skelter and the Sharon Tate murder and the LoBianco murders. In the early 60s, there was a police... True story of a police detective who was investigating their activity before it reached that horrible conclusion. So, David Duchovny stars, and NBC is going to air the premiere on... Let me get the date here. Where the heck is it? I don't know. I'll find out. Oh, May 28th. May 28th is the broadcast premiere of that on NBC. Then, online, NBC is going to make all 13 episodes available.
Is that right?
Yeah. Online and video on demand, so you can binge watch the entire series after it's aired. They're going to take the Netflix model and apply it to network television.
I wonder if that's going to be the way TV moves forward.
This seems to be at least an interesting experiment by one of the big three networks, and I think if it's successful, that may be the case. We may move forward where you'll be able to see everything right away upon its debut, like Daredevil and Orange is the New Black and, you know, shows from that model. So I think it's interesting
that is interesting.
Network television is starting to get its cues from the streaming services.
I hope that show's good, Ralph.
Me too, because he's terrific. Yep. It's a fascinating time in American history, and I love cop shows. So there's a lot going on here. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Pasdar is 50 years old today. You may remember him as the flying congressman from Heroes.
That's true.
But now he's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's very good.
That show's coming back, right, in some form, Heroes.
Heroes Reborn is sort of a reboot, and not a lot of the original cast is coming back. They said they may come in for guest stars and that kind of thing.
But it's a new crop of regular people with superheroes, right. Superpowers, I guess?
Right, people who start to discover that they have powers. Like, although you remember Jack Coleman, who played the Horn Rim Glasses?
Yes.
Guy?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's going to be one of the regulars.
All right.
But, yeah, NBC's bringing that back.
Zachary Levi's on the show, too.
That's right, yeah. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 40. His co-star Kunal Nayar from that same show is 34 years old today. Kirsten Dunst is 33. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, and the upcoming Superman v. Batman is 30 years old. Someone sent me an email, by the way, said, why are you always saying verse? It's not verse. It's V or verses, but it's no verse.
That's what we thought.
That's what we thought until we heard Beer Mug. Beer Mug said that a bunch. That's why we kid.
He says that regular. That's how he always says it.
He thinks that's what when someone is against someone else, they go verse them.
Todd.
Yeah, it's nuts. Diane Agron. You know her from Glee. She's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, sh**. Oh, God. Did you feel that? Oh, my God. Holy
it's fine.
Oh,
it's fine.
It's moving.
It's okay.
I can't believe the ground is moving.
It's just
did you feel that?
Just a little
holy
just a little earthquake.
Oh, God. It's rolling. No, now it's rocking. No, now it's rolling. Holy
shaker? Is it a shaker?
Oh, God, it stopped.
Okay, at least it stopped.
Is that Christine calling in?
3.6, roughly, I think they're estimating, around Carson. Yeah. Apparently, some people felt it. Oddly, some people in this building felt it. Most of us did not, though, right?
Yeah, none of us here in the studio, nobody felt it.
I didn't feel it.
That's
interesting. But, yeah. Allie, you're seeing reports from all over, right?
Yeah, I have friends in Long Beach, friends in L.A., and one from Encinitas saying they felt it.
Apparently, the epicenter was near Carson Daly.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He is so rocking that he actually moved the ground.
Well, everybody's fine. Guys, we got to take care of one of our own. We've got a problem in the family. I saw these tweets 2 days ago from our friend Nick. First one, all caps, my laptop was stolen, period. Devastated, period.
Son of a bitch.
Next tweet. By the way, that's a sucky feeling, isn't it?
The worst.
Next tweet, everything I was working on, all my writing plans, my future is so incredibly effed right now. Next tweet, I need to come on the show. I need help from someone. I don't even know how to use my free time now. Next tweet, and this one concerns me a great deal. I'm such a failure and I can't catch a break. I need help now more than ever. You're not a failure if somebody steals your laptop. You are the victim of a bad person. That's all. It's no reflection on you, Nick. You're fine, buddy.
Hey, thank you. That means a lot. That really
well, it's
does.
True. It's not your fault that somebody stole your laptop.
Wait,
unless
hold
you're
on,
a dumbass.
Hold on. Yeah. Was it your fault?
Did you put a post-it note on the laptop saying free laptop?
No. Okay.
Did you leave it in the Starbucks and go home to get something?
No, that's another thing. I was writing at the gym more often.
Writing at the gym.
Well, yeah. That's what you do at the gym.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you're not working out.
Wait, hey, come on, Bean. No piling on.
I have been working out past few months.
Okay.
Yeah, Bean.
Okay. So is that where your laptop got stolen?
No.
No.
It got stolen in Pasadena. I was in like a parking structure right by the Trader Joe's. It was close by Pasadena City College, which is where I was going this semester. And I went to PCC for like a few hours on Tuesday night. And I got back and like the window smashed and my laptop's gone. Just like someone in the middle of a parking structure with people, and I saw a security guard driving in.
Yeah.
And someone just in public just took it.
Right.
Yeah.
So someone smashed your window to grab your laptop out of your car?
Yes.
We call it in the law enforcement business being the smash and grab.
How did they come up with that name, Ralph? That's so weird.
I don't know, but that's what they call it.
Was yours the only car victimized, or did they get a bunch of people?
Yeah, only car victimized.
Was the laptop sitting on the front seat someplace obvious?
I just put it, like, on the ground. And that's another thing. I left it in the front seat, like, a million times before.
That's dumb.
You're sort of begging to get it stolen if you leave it in the front seat.
Like, I put mine in the trunk if I've got to travel with a laptop.
Yeah, I usually do put it, like, in the back, but this is just, like...
You said you left it in the front seat 1,000 times.
No, I wouldn't say, like every time, but, like, you know, I did not think driving in, seeing a security guard...
Right,
in, like,
okay.
A very
okay.
public parking structure with
All
people
right.
around that this would happen.
You know, Nick, did you have it backed up? Did you at least be able to...
I have some of my information backed up. It's not as much as I'd prefer, but I have a bunch of, like, the most valuable information on email.
I wish someone would steal his phone.
It's a terrible phone.
It's the worst.
You have a bad phone.
What's bumming you out? Like, what did you lose that is making you so upset? Is it just the expense of getting a new computer that has you depressed?
It's just everything I was writing. All my stuff.
All your scripts?
All my, like, creative stuff. I mean, like, some of it is backed up, not all of it, but, a good amount of it is, but just, like...
What about that sequel to that character from Heavy Metal that you don't own?
That is on there, and that I'm still going to do, no matter what.
But is that all gone now?
Actually, that's backed up.
That's backed up.
A lot of that, I'm still working on that. A lot of it is, like, already saved on emails, and, like, what isn't saved I can just rewrite, because it's already in my head.
Okay, then why did we get the SOS tweets where you're like, I'm
Why were you forming a noose out of your bathrobe belt?
All my personal stuff is on there. My photos, my
nude photos.
Oh, nudes.
Well, that's just saying,
neck.
My personal stuff.
Neck
sex photos.
It doesn't matter what's
sexy
on there.
Sexy photos.
Just,
okay, it matters to us. Sexy photos.
Photos, just like no
sexy
for my digital camera,
penis?
For my cell phone camera.
Are we talking penis?
Right, you took it with your cell phone camera. Fine. What did you take a picture of? Your penis?
No, there's no penis pictures on my laptop. Okay?
Vagina?
None of that.
Then don't worry about
side
it.
Side boob.
It's just my personal mementos. It's just
upskirt.
Stuff, okay, it's just my digital stuff, and I hate to interrupt my digital stuff. All right, can you please understand that?
Your digital stuff.
What's your digital stuff? Do you have a digital penis?
The bar.
It's just, I don't want to like have a. I mean, a new laptop. Like, that's not what really a problem.
Nick, back away from the phone.
Just stop talking through a comb and some wax.
Just back away from the phone a little bit.
Stop using a kazoo.
Nick, let me ask you this, and I don't know much about this at all, but some computers have some way that you can track them. You can go. There's a Find My Mac kind of thing. Or
did you have a Mac or a Windows?
I called to see if we had that. I thought we did. We called LoJack. Apparently we didn't.
LoJack.
Okay, LoJack.
Is LoJack one of those?
Cars, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't think they do computers, but okay.
All right, so what's your financial situation like, Nick? What's your plan to get a new computer?
My parents want to get me a laptop to use in the meantime. I'm really hoping my laptop gets found. It's just...
Okay, well,
really
first, let that go. Let that go, Nick. Your laptop's not going to get found.
I mean, obviously there are... instances where it will, but for the most part, really, sort of move on.
Yeah,
it's got to be a 1 in 1,000 that something like this gets recovered, Nick. I'm sorry to say, but that's just the hard truth.
So your parents are going to get you one?
I just don't want to start over with like an empty laptop. Do you know what an empty feeling that is?
I get that. Here's the thing, Nick. The way to look at it is this is going to reboot your creativity.
Yes, boom.
This is a clean slate. It's all new. Every thought now is going to feel fresh and new. Can you look at it like that?
I'll try. I mean, like, a lot of, like, the most valuable stuff I still have backed up.
But this is a rebirth for you.
Not as much as I prefer. Not as much as I prefer. A lot of stuff I'm going to have to actually just do over.
Great. This is a chance for you to edit and to polish and to hone, and everything that you do now will be better. It'll be polished.
I feel like there was a lot of crap on that laptop.
No.
This is rebirth. This is you starting anew. This is 3 days later, the rock moves, and a new Nick crawls out of the cave.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's that.
Like, I don't know what that
means. I get the optimistic standpoint from that. It's just, it's hard for it to feel that way. I just,
Well, you're going to go through some stages of grief and despair. But you know what? This is good. I'm going to look at it as a sign.
As a sign that he shouldn't be writing scripts?
Nope. Right. Nope. As a sign that you needed a jump start on your creativity. It was just handed to you in a way that you didn't have a choice.
You didn't expect it, but it happened.
Right.
God works in mysterious ways, Nick. You know that.
Yes.
Maybe God
stole
it. You're
going to be fine.
And now you have a brand new collection of upskirt photos.
Let me just say, the only thing that matters to me is doing this whole heavy metal thing.
Okay. That's all that matters to any of us.
That is what matters. And you have that backed up.
Yes.
Thank God we didn't lose that.
Look, I'm really happy that your parents are going to step up and get you a computer, because that gets us off the hook. We were talking about doing that, and we don't want to.
Yeah, we don't really want to.
But so the fact that they're doing it is great.
This is good. Someone's looking out for you.
The new computer's not really the point. It's,
yeah, it
it's
is.
To work on it. The work on it that was valuable.
Nothing. It's
Nick.
Not valuable.
It's valuable to me. It's valuable
to me.
Look,
that has no value.
Nick, here's
it's just
thing.
Work. Just redo it. Just do it again. You got nothing but time. Sit there in the gym not working out and write.
No, I worked out then. I worked out then write. And then you go back to work and then write some more.
Right. That's
well,
what
then
we
just do that. You got all the time in the world. What are you kidding? What are you not Hemingway? Just write.
And you're young, by the way, and you're full of ideas. And there is nothing on that laptop that you can't write better now that you have another crack at it, Nick. So just get to it.
Stop your crying.
All right?
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks
for
coming on.
My work here is done.
I am hurt. I am really hurt, though, no matter what.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Tupac. We'll talk to you later, okay?
I'll talk to you later.
Joe Levy. Welcome back to the Kevin DeVito Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I am good. It is good to be here.
Joe writes for everybody, for details, for Billboard. He's a contributor for Rolling Stone magazine. You can talk to Joe about any topic, which is one of the reasons why I love having you. And what are you doing in town? You're usually based out of New York, right?
I am usually based out of New York. I'm here to do a story, working on a couple of different things, top secret stuff.
Like what?
Like it?
Like what is a good question.
Good
you trip them up like that.
Huh? Like what?
I want to ask you about a story that you wrote recently that I thought was so fascinating. And by the way, we do want to talk to you about the backlash against Tidal too, because that's the last time we had you on, is when Jay-Z was launching that streaming service. We got a bunch of questions about how that's rolled out for him in the last month. But I want to ask you about your Jack White story, because that was so fascinating to me. We all heard the story and talked about it here on this show about Jack White paying $300,000 for a copy of Elvis Presley's first record, acetate that he recorded for $4 for his mom, right? You play an integral part in that story, Joe, that I think is fascinating.
I have a personal stake in this story. So this story is also fascinating to me because it was a big surprise to me. So I'm going down to Nashville, home of Third Man Records, Jack mm-hmm. White's label, his entertainment complex, the Xanadu that he's built there in an old storage facility and a garage. He's got two buildings. It's an amazing place. And the day before I'm supposed to go to Nashville, I get a call saying, hey, so this Jack White story you're going to Nashville to do, what about going to Memphis? And I'm like, sure, I could go to Memphis.
Because Jack White's going
to
be there?
Yeah, so we're going to meet in Memphis? Yeah, well, you should go to Memphis.
What?
I'm like, well, but the Third Man's in Nashville, so I'm going to go to Nashville too. Nashville. Yeah. But you should go to Memphis. Well, I'm flying tomorrow to Nashville. So, you already booked a plane ticket? Yeah.
What's happening? I'm flying
tomorrow to... Oh, okay, all right. So why don't I rent a car and I'll drive to Memphis and we could... Sure. So I drive to Memphis and they're like, hey, and by the way, when you're in Memphis, you should tour the Sun Records studio.
Right.
Because Sun has been a real inspiration to Third Man. And I knew that Third Man has been reissuing Sun singles. Sun is where Elvis Presley recorded. Right. You know, Sam Phillips started Sun Records. Elvis recorded there. Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, right? And, of course, before it was Sun Records, B.B. King and Howlin' Wolf recorded there. Also, important place in music
history. It sounds to me at this point in your story like you're going to get killed. That's what it sounds to me like. Well, you should go to Memphis. All right.
You've been to Memphis. Okay. So I drive to Memphis. I take the tour at Sun Studios, and I'm standing around. I don't even know what's going to happen next. I text the publicist, hey, I'm awaiting further instructions. Nothing. I'm like, well, this is getting a little boring. I'm going to drive and get a cup of coffee. Drive down to Main Street, park the car, get a cup of coffee, get a text. Be at the Arcade Diner at precisely noon. Further instructions will be provided.
You're on a manhunt.
Right. So now I'm literally, the car is parked across the street from the Arcade Diner. So I'm like, are they watching me? What's going on?
By the way, that's a nice color shirt you have on today. Hey, wait a minute.
And so I get my cup of coffee. I go across the street at noon. I wait on the corner. An SUV pulls up out of nowhere.
Puts a bag over your head,
There's a guy, woman's driving in a black dress, guy in a black suit, right? Uh-huh. With his hair slicked back over his head, gets out, says, Mr. Levy, yes. He hands me a briefcase, one of those metal briefcases, right? Says, this package must be delivered to Third Man Records this afternoon, precisely at 5 o'clock. Further instructions will be provided. I'm like... Should I wait here?
Can I ask you just one question?
Is
this normal for you?
No. Oh, yeah. This is how every interview goes. Yeah. Oh, no. If you show up to interview, absolutely.
Because I got bells and whistles going off every time.
If you show up to interview Mumford & Sons, it's like, hey, go to the In-N-Out and wait. Someone's going to pick you up there, one of the Sons, and they're going to drive you to meet Mumford.
All right.
And it's, this happens all the time.
So
no,
deliver
this
package.
Strange.
You don't know what's in the briefcase.
No,
all you know is you're supposed to have it in Nashville at 5.
No clue. And the guy says it contains one of the most important documents in human history.
Opened it, right?
No, because it's sealed with tape. So if you open it, they know if you open it.
You can buy more tape.
You're right. You're a very smart woman, and you were not thinking, oh, geez, I have to drive back to Memphis in 3 hours. Yeah. I've got to get on the road right now.
The first thing I think, Joe, at this point is I'm a drug mule.
Yes, drugs. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Okay.
So
you have been to Memphis. all right. No, so I get in the car, and what am I going to do? I drive to Nashville. I drive to Nashville. I pull up to Third Man Records. I still haven't met Jack White. I'm a little bit like, well, that was a long drive. It's like 6 hours back and forth, right?
Sure. Right.
I drive to Nashville, pull up to Third Man. Guy opens the door, walks me in, and there's about 30 people who work there. And if you've ever been to Third Man, you know they all have uniforms. All the guys wear black suits with yellow and black ties. All the women wear black and yellow dresses. Everybody is in the lounge. The lounge, by the way, is the place with, like, there's a water buffalo. There's all these taxidermied animals around. All this old school vintage hi-fi equipment. Elvis is on the stereo singing Merry Christmas, Baby. Jack White has his hair buzzed on the side, swept up into an Elvis-like pompadour. He's like, hey, Joe. I'm like, I have something here for you. He's like, oh, thanks. And he gets down on one knee.
And proposes?
Slits open the case, oh. Pulls out a record, and says, this is Elvis Presley's first recording. And I'm like, well.
Wow. Kids love that.
And I'm like, no way, because Elvis Presley's first recording is My Happiness. There's like one of them in the whole world. No way is that. And he walks over to his stereo, puts the needle on. Boom. There it is.
So you had the $300,000 car.
Wow. Yep.
It was a $300,000 record in that briefcase.
Yep.
And they gave it to a guy who didn't even know what he had.
They gave it to a guy who 2 days earlier they were saying, just to be sure, because you live in New York, do you know how to drive?
What's going on?
That's the guy they gave it to.
If he pays that much money for something, how are they getting a guy who's going to come interview him to go pick your courier?
Are they cheap? Is that what it was?
Oh, sure. They're very, very cheap. That's exactly it. Yeah. No, Memphis is home. The Federal Express started there. I'm pretty sure they know how to get it from
for
the adventure of it. Yeah. For the adventure
I would think they would send an armed guard to go pick that up, though, if it's worth that much money.
Well, and that's the interesting thing about it. On Record Store Day, they reissued the record, and they also had this recording booth where you could come in and cut your own record the way that Elvis did.
Right.
And they put the original record on display behind 3-inch bulletproof glass with an armed guard.
Sweet.
Meanwhile, it was in your Hyundai.
Meanwhile, it was exactly, much like back in the old days. Step into my Hyundai, baby.
That's an amazing story. All right, our guest is Joe Levy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a fascinating man who can talk about anything, and we're going to talk about some of those anythings when we return right after this on K-Rock. Can you give me the details of our ATT promotion again? If you could bring me up to speed just to make sure I didn't miss anything. Our friend Joe Levy in studio is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a contributor to Rolling Stone magazine. We last spoke with Joe just earlier this month when Jay-Z's Tidal became available as a high-quality streaming service. Boy, it sure has been in the news a lot in the last few weeks, Joe. How do you think it's going for Tidal?
Oh, great. They've solved everything. It's all taken care of. Pack it up, people. We can go home. Strike the lights. Problem solved.
When they announced it, they had so many huge artists.
Right.
And it was such a big deal, and it seems like everything Jay-Z does just works.
Everything.
So tell us about this month.
It's been a tough one. Last couple of weeks, well, the launch, there's the general feeling that the launch was maybe a bad PR move. A lot of negative reaction, and the feeling has been, why are all these millionaires telling me to pay money for music? Now, I think part of that is from the long-standing feeling now that, hey, music's free. I shouldn't pay for it. But part of it, well, they all these guys got up, and instead of having fun, they delivered a very serious statement about changing the way business is done. And that's not really something fans care about. Mm-hmm. Fans don't care about changing the way that business is done. They care about music. Tidal's been delivering some exclusive tracks from Rihanna, from Beyonce. They're out there to change the game, and it's only been a few weeks, and yet last week, all these stories started to surface. It's a flop.
Well, I think one of the barometers that was used to make that statement was how infrequently the Tidal app seems to be being downloaded from the iTunes store. We heard that it dropped out of what? The top 750, I think, is what they reported, right?
Yeah, and you know, the Tidal counter to that is when you don't have a free app, when your app is, you don't have a free service, they don't have a freemium service. If you want to use it, you get a trial period, but basically you're saying, I want to pay $9.99 a month or $19.99 a month for high definition audio.
Right.
And they say, well, when you're not giving something away, you're not in the top 700. Now, I don't know about that, but I will say again, it's only been a couple of weeks.
Right. How do they compare to Beats Music, which is similarly no free service, right?
That's right. Beats, I believe, when it was swallowed up by Apple for a lot of money, did not have significantly more subscribers than Tidal seems to have launched. Jay-Z went on Twitter, and again, I think the reaction to all of this is a little leaning towards negative. Jay-Z went on Twitter, put out some tweets, and all of a sudden, everybody covers this as his Twitter rant.
Yeah.
He tweeted a couple of times. He wasn't ranting. He wasn't angry. But he was saying, hey, we've been in business for less than a month. We got 700,000 subscribers. Well, he might have had 500,000 of those to start. But let's say he added 200, 250,000 subscribers. Beats hadn't rolled up that many more subscribers at the time they were swallowed up by Apple. And now they're going to relaunch in June, and that's what everybody's interested in. What's going to happen when Beats relaunches? How are the streaming wars going to heat up? How is the battle for exclusive music from artists, like all those artists who are aligned with Tidal? Kanye's going to put out a new record. Who's going to have it exclusively?
Was it a mistake, looking back on it, to launch it in such a high-profile way rather than just sort of
maybe
letting it grow?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but maybe the mistake was not launching it in a high-profile way, but launching it in this really serious, high-profile way. The tone of it, right? The sort of like, let us read our Declaration of Independence. Join the revolution!
Yeah, it was very off-putting to me. Just watching it, I'm like, this is not relatable.
It did look like the Illuminati.
Have some fun.
Also, anytime somebody says, join us, and they're robots,
yeah,
like Daft Punk, well. I don't know about you, but I get a little scared because I think they're coming for me.
So
Skynet.
Is Kanye in the Illuminati? Is that true?
Kanye in a paper interview addressed this feeling that this was music's Illuminati, right? This is all the stuff these guys have to deal with, a lot of negative reaction, and I think they were not prepared for that. But that said, they're moving fast. They're a technology company. They're moving fast. They're trying to change stuff.
Did you think that Jay-Z in the tweets that he made a couple of days ago, did you think he was overly defensive when he said things like, hey, what about all those big companies that are spending millions of dollars on a smear campaign? I mean, it almost sounded like he felt like he was backed into a corner somehow.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? And yet you wonder what he's talking about. I certainly did. So when I was on Twitter and I was seeing that there are accounts set up entirely to attack Tidal, there are accounts that are just
about attacking them.
I was like, either somebody's really angry about that launch, or there's a little bit of money being spread around maybe to fuel that negative sentiment. I don't know. Could be true. Jay-Z certainly suggesting it is.
Ultimately, are there going to be multiple streaming sites, or will eventually they coalesce into one or two?
Yeah, it'll just be one, Skynet.
Wrong answer.
There are multiple streaming sites now, and there are more. We talk about Spotify and we talk about iTunes, and these are the big two, even though the Beats service isn't relaunched yet. But I mean, there's Deezer, there's RDO, there are others right now, but ultimately it's a battle. And why is it a battle? Because this is a big business. Streaming last year was growing in double digits, up about 30%. Generated $1.87 billion, that's a B, in revenue.
Wow.
$800 million of that was from subscribers. So that's already a pretty big number, and it's growing double digits every year, and that's why these – I mean, listen, these guys at Tidal want to be at the table because they want to have a music service run by musicians. Is Spotify making money? No.
Yeah. They're not profitable yet.
Are they going to?
Sure.
I mean,
of course, problem solved. I don't know. I mean, but if they don't make money, if this doesn't reach mass, as they say, then I don't want to get to that point where nobody makes music anymore because there's nothing to, there's nobody listening, paying to listen to it.
I just read an interview this morning, and I can't remember who had it. It was with Gene Simmons, and he was talking about how
Always a reasonable voice. Yes, always a calm voice of reason. It's very true.
No.
He was talking about something that you'll relate to, Joe, which is the differences in the music business now versus when he was coming up. And he says, we may never get to know the next Beatles or the next Led Zeppelin because they won't be able to move out of their parents' basement because they're not going to be able to make money as a band when they get started because they won't have a record company that's going to be supporting them and putting them out on the road and promoting them and all the other things. And they won't have any way to make money from selling records. Are we going to dry up with a certain amount of musicians for that reason? Does he make a point?
Yeah, he has a point, but I think that's a little exaggerated. I mean, the next Beatles, the next Led Zeppelin, the next Kiss. that's top of the mountain stuff, and top of the mountain's probably going to go on existing.
There'll always be top of the mountain. It's a younger artist. But Bean's question sort of assumes that the next Beatles are in their basement and are not going to be able to get any traction.
But, you know, here's the thing. The number one record last week was by a 16-year-old kid, Shawn Mendes. He signed to Island Records. He built it. Listen, he's not the next Led Zeppelin. He's sensitive. He's a singer-songwriter. So right. Let's call him the next Taylor Swift or James Taylor or somebody with Taylor in it. And he started out on Vine. And he did start out at his mom's house. And got signed. And got a record out super quick. This stuff
does
happen.
But can he make money off of that?
Yeah, I presume he can make money off of it. I mean, also, he's going to be opening for Taylor Swift in stadiums this summer. So I think they're paying him some money. Yeah.
By the way, that album is better than I thought it would. The Mendes album is better than I expected it to be. He's a pretty talented kid.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so when you have that, that's the other side of the seesaw, the thing that Gene Simmons is maybe not looking at. Hey, what's happening on Vine? Oh, there are no hot girls on here? I'm out. you know, but... if you count that social media phenomena, the way that stuff can bubble up super quickly, the way that people can operate sometimes in the social sphere without needing a label, without needing, oh, dare I say it, radio. Oh, I said it. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
We'll edit that out, right?
No, we can edit that
out. Okay. But, you know, it's a changing world. There are other things happening. But when I say top of the mountain, I don't think we're going to miss the next Led Zeppelin. But we might miss further down the mountain, we might miss all the other super talented bands, the kind of stuff I really loved as a kid that wasn't the most popular stuff in the world. I'm more worried about missing the next Ramones.
Right. Gotcha. Well, Joe, you always have a great insight into anything that we throw at you, and we really appreciate that. So RollingStone.com, you can follow Joe on Twitter at RealJoeLevy. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your time in Los Angeles. We'll see you again soon, sir.
Good to see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
Finally, getting some Red Hot Chili Peppers up in this
dish. Is that who that was?
Yep. Finally.
Never hear them.
It's about time. Yeah. Hey, Jim Rome talks sports, and there's an awful lot going on that we want to speak with Rome about. That's coming up. First, though, Ralph's got
good
the show
look
to feed here on a Thursday. What's
guys
happening,
guys are Ralph? Legends. Always happy to talk to you about sports. My horse, Scalded Balls, going to be running in the...
That's not the name of
the horse. Kentucky Derby this weekend. Hope everybody will watch.
Not running the Kentucky Derby.
No.
And not named Scalded Balls.
Right.
My pony is hurt.
Right. That's right.
That's what I call my penis. Not a good look. Bows to the dome. Get your beak in a book.
Let's talk about show business news, shall we? This Rosie O'Donnell divorce, ooh, it's getting contentious, as divorces are wont to do. Now, Rosie O'Donnell's wife, Michelle Rounds, is seeking full custody of their 2-year-old daughter. And she's starting to lay it on pretty thick that Rosie's not a good parent. She says Rosie drinks a bottle of wine nearly every night, regularly smokes weed, and eats marijuana edibles, and it's getting in the way of her parenting.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. She also claims that Rosie lets their 19-year-old son throw parties where all the kids drink. Sounds like Rosie's awesome, Mom. I will walk away from every dime of Rose money if I get full custody, she said. Apparently, this Michelle Rounds was a millionaire before she met Rosie O'Donnell, so it doesn't sound like she's after her money.
Interesting.
So whatever she says, I believe, because it's Rosie O'Donnell. Come on.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
No.
Right?
That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying the exact opposite. Mm. Ripped from today's headlines, HBO has announced they are making a TV movie about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Dude, finally. That is awesome.
Why so soon, I ask? They should let that story just sit there and percolate for a while. Star of Treme and The Wire, Wendell Pierce, will play Clarence Thomas. And Scandal star Kerry Washington will play Anita Hill, who made headlines.
That is excellent casting.
Of course, you may not remember the story, but Anita Hill made headlines during Thomas's confirmation hearings when she testified that he had sexually harassed her. So HBO said they are investing in extra scenery so that they can replace it when Kerry Washington chews the F out of the scenery she'll be acting in front of when they film the movie. They're going to need a lot of scenery because that scenery is not going to go unchewed.
Amazing.
That's all I'm saying.
He said that he had a movie for me to watch.
So, so tell me, like, how this story is this based on real life?
Yeah, it is, beer mug. Scarlett Johansson, she's just the best. A lot of people in a franchise like the Avengers would just sit back and just count their money and just live high on the hog, if you will. But she's using her fame for something positive, shining the light on America's dirty little secret of American children going hungry every day. Millions of American children struggle to get food every day. In America! We're not talking about Bangladesh or some third world nation. There's a whole generation of kids that are growing up hungry.
I'm hungry right now.
It's not the same kind of hungry. It turns out Scarlett Johansson has filmed a new public service announcement revealing that her own family relied on public assistance to provide food while she was growing up. She had to use food banks.
No kidding.
Her family was that poor.
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
She calls child hunger a real and often overlooked problem that we can fix. 16 million children struggle every day to get enough food in this country.
So this is your first time dabbling in food.
And she says everyone can do something about it because billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. So it's a real problem. It's legitimate. I'm glad she is exposing it. Speaking of fame, by the way, Kristen Stewart did an interview with Harper's Bazaar magazine. And she says fame and being famous is the worst thing in the world.
She's consistent. She has.
She's spectacular.
She's been miserable since day one.
Yes. She's in the wrong line of work, I think.
Miserable.
Perhaps she's in the wrong line of work. Here's the quote. First of all, regarding show business, women inevitably have to work a little bit harder to be heard. Hollywood is disgustingly sexist. And being famous, fame is the worst thing in the world.
That's fantastic. What about
maybe Scarlett Johansson can introduce her to some hungry kids, and they can see they can compare lives and see which is worse: having a table waiting for you at the Ivy at all times, or not having milk.
Yeah,
worst thing in the world. I just want to just give her a noogie to end all noogies.
That's it. That's your answer.
I would give her a serious noogie. That would be uncomfortable for her. I guarantee.
Look, there is a downside to being famous. There is, but
it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, maybe
Kevin.
That's a bit of an overstatement.
No, it isn't. Fame is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. She might need to change jobs.
She's awful. Kristen Stewart is awful.
She's a bad actress, though, as well.
She has that.
She's got that going for her.
You're right. I have to give her the props because she is also a bad actress, so I don't want to take that away from her.
Thank you.
At least she's an awful person who's not very good at a job that she gets really overpaid for, and that makes her famous. Worst thing in the world is fame.
Yeah.
Is that even top 10?
No.
It's not top 1,000.
No.
It's one of the best things in the world. I would hazard a guess, say, you know, being famous, it's probably one of the best things in the world. Really, the good outweighs the bad.
But even if she hates it, don't you think there's a part of her that goes, I shouldn't say that out loud because people are going to hate me? No?
Kevin.
She
doesn't have that chip.
No.
Huh.
Self-awareness? The self-awareness?
Yes.
Self-awareness
gene? It doesn't take that much.
No, that's recessive in her family. Mm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Pasdar is 50 years old today. A couple of fellas from the Big Bang Theory, Johnny Galecki and Kunal Nayar, celebrate their birthdays. Johnny's 40. And Kunal is 34 years old. Kirsten Dunst is 33. Gal Gadot
She's Wonder Woman in the new Superman v. Batman movie. She is 30 years old today. Diana Agron's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Jim Rome Show is heard all across these great United States of ours and right here in town on AM 980 The Beast from 9 until noon. Jim is on Showtime as well with his terrific talk show, and he joins us every Thursday morning about this time on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Rome. How are you, sir?
Kevin Bean. What's up, guys?
Well, we got so much that we want to talk to you about, and I want to start with a two-part question that involves the NBA playoffs. We saw how many times Dwight Howard got intentionally fouled the other night playing for Houston. We saw how many times DeAndre Jordan got intentionally fouled playing for the Clippers. Why can't NBA players, professional athletes who play basketball for a living, throw a goddamn free throw, Jim?
Wow, a GD blast.
Yeah.
Right out of the box.
It's on.
Yep.
Do you know what? I will give you a technical explanation as to why DeAndre and Dwight Howard are so bad at free throws. I can actually break this down technically.
Love it.
The reason they're bad is because they're bad. If they could fix it, they would. Right?
I mean,
trust me. If these guys could fix it, they would. They work hard at it. They try to fix it. They just can't. And unfortunately, right now, nobody's worse than DeAndre. These guys are just bad because they're bad.
But, Jim, I don't buy that they can't fix it. I think it's just all... And this, by the way, I'm a Lakers fan. I'll just say that. But I hated Shaq when he was fouled at the end of games. It's a weakness. Fix it.
Oh, there's no doubt, but you don't think they would if they could?
No, I don't.
Hey, you know, I suck at this. I think I'm just going to leave it alone. It's a terrible look. I'm hurting my team, and I know that they can't play me late in games, but, you know, that would just be too much work. I'm not going to fix it. I hear you. You should never put it this way. I'm not thinking that DeAndre is ever going to shoot 80, but shooting sub 40 is inexcusable.
Right?
That guy's got to do better than that. But I'm telling you, the guy is trying, and he's working. He can't fix it.
All right, so we have a theory. Yes, let's talk about Dave's theory.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, Allie.
Dave's theory is their hands are too big and it's hard to actually throw it with the wrist motion.
Is he a rocket scientist?
Well, Dave,
what does that even mean?
Dave,
his hands are too big.
Oh, I'm going with the big hand theory.
Also, yes.
The big hand theory.
Have you ever tried to shoot, like, think about it, shoot a tennis ball into a basketball rim?
No,
you
know, Dave, what? How would I do that?
No.
That's a good question.
Your hand's so big, bigger than that ball, that you can't control it.
Okay.
And these guys, like a Dwight Howard, like a DeAndre Jordan, are not jump shooters. All they do is go to the rack and throw it down.
Okay.
Did they get surprised by
these big hands? Or were they born with them and they
Easy, Magic Johnson. Look, I don't ever tell you fellas how to do the show, but can you turn that guy's microphone off?
Yes.
How do you get in front of a mic?
Yes, we can.
You know what you should do? You should take a ping pong and shoot it into a big garbage can.
That's beer pong.
Or a BB and shoot it into the ocean.
All right, he's out.
These guys, I'm telling you, why are you not listening? They're bad because they're bad.
I'm not buying that. I think
there's nothing to Dave's theory, though, is what it sounds like. You're saying,
talking, Jim, to you, Dave.
All right.
Thanks for playing along, Dave.
The other half of my question is, and you brought this up with your guest Jerry West on the Showtime show the other day, is that will the NBA do anything about it? Because they recognize that it makes the product worse. It makes the games take 3 hours, and it's no fun to watch.
No, it's true. I mean, it slows down the flow of the game. There's nothing – when these guys are getting up and down, it's a great product, and you want to see it, and then all of a sudden they understand, oh, now it's time. Now it's time to go hack a DeAndre, hack a Shaq, whatever you want to call it. It slows down the game. But again, it comes back to, I think, your first point. Now, these guys have to learn how to shoot free throws. Yes. As long as you can exploit that to your advantage, they're going to hack guys up. They're not going to apologize for it, and I would not look for the league to fix that. These guys need to learn how to shoot free throws from 15 feet when nobody's guarding them.
All right, new topic. I'm with Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it involves John Jones. You were surprised, not surprised, thought Dana White made the right call by stripping him of his light heavyweight title after his recent problems with the law.
Not surprised. Not surprised. He had no choice. Now, this guy is so out of control. I mean, you've got that incident. Let's not forget he tested positive for blow before his last fight.
Yep.
He brawled with Daniel Cormier in the lobby of the MGM Grand after a press conference. And the guy was picked up for DUI back in 2012. I'm not surprised that he's in this position, and I'm not surprised that Dana White did what he did. In fact, he's doing the guy a favor. Jones needs to wake the hell up, sober up, dry out, get back to knocking fools out, and do it before he takes himself or even worse, one of us out. This guy is coming off the tracks altogether. So it was the right thing, and I'm not surprised.
All right. And NHL playoffs, let's talk about that. How do you see that going? The Ducks start their series tonight.
I think it's going great. How do you see it going?
Well, not so good for me, but...
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've talked about this. It's got to be one SoCal team. It's either the Kings or the Ducks. And I kept waiting for the Kings to throw the switch,
yeah,
and they didn't do it. Yeah. But I like the Ducks. There's a lot to like them about them. I think they can roll their four lines. I think they're deep. I think they're hungry. I like that mix of youth and also veteran talent. I think they're primed for a deep run. I feel very good about them. And
Dave,
I still think the NHL playoffs are the best.
Do you feel Dave, that some of the Ducks players' hands are too big to be able to effectively hit that puck
right?
in the goal, though?
No, because they could grab that stick and fire that puck in.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Right through the five hole.
All right.
Yeah, Tom.
Such a strong take. Hey, Dave, do you mind if I rip that and use that as my own?
Jim will be on in 44 minutes on AM 980 The Beast for three solid hours of great sports talk, and look for his show on Showtime as well. Jim, thanks for the time, sir. We'll do it again next week.
I wouldn't be surprised if next week Dave does this segment. I'll see you then.
All right. I feel like the Bunny Ranch has invaded Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, what a thrill to have in the studio the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch, Dennis Hoff, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and Chrissy Summers, who works for the Bunny Ranch. How are
Hello.
You guys? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're glad to be here. What an honor. You know, I got to tell you, we're fans. We listen to the show, and my best friend, Ron Jeremy, is like your biggest fan, and she's working her way to the studio right now just so she can say hello to you.
Ron Jeremy, you calling a she? Is that what's happening?
Oh,
here?
I've been calling her a she for 20 years. I buy her clothes. I feed her. I buy her three pair of Crocs for her birthday every year.
I have seen his movies. He is not a she. I have news for you.
biggest fan, though, is appropriate when you're talking
yes,
about
indeed. Yeah. Yeah, so, biggest. Dennis, we just had you on the show very recently talking about how you were hiring an official tester. You had a quality control campaign where
yes.
you were looking for employees that could try out the ladies at your various establishments there in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like a secret shopper to kind of give you some feedback.
Right.
Now that you're here, was that legitimate and did you hire someone?
Oh, absolutely. It was ironic that the New York Daily News ran it on April 1st, April Fool's. And O'Reilly talked about it, everybody. But we interviewed, Chrissy actually is doing the interview. She hired nine people. And I would love
nine? I thought yeah. you were going to hire one.
No. We had nine. But look, this is a job that's not going to last a long time because once they find out who you are, it's not a secret anymore.
It's a one-time thing. That's
exactly.
true.
Exactly. So we hired nine, but I'd like to do something with you guys. Maybe get one of your listeners to be a secret shopper someday. So think that might
think
be
that through. All right,
or maybe you guys can do
it. We even hired a couple women, so women are okay.
All right, fantastic. And what's since people will now ask us, Chrissy, what's that email address if they would like to apply to be the secret shopper?
Yeah, actually, if you go to bunnyranch.com, at the top of the page, there's a link that says "Be a Bunny." You're obviously not applying to be a bunny in the subject line. You're just going to put brothel tester and then
brothel tester.
Yes, yeah, so just
gotcha.
Go to bunnyranch.
Just want to put that on my tax forms.
You're right.
on your resume, yeah, brothel
they would,
tester.
Wouldn't they deny that immediately? What's this joker doing?
You know, maybe you could use it as a perk or something for a listener or even David, your producer.
No,
maybe,
let's not get crazy.
Maybe he needs a little tune-up. Who knows?
Well, so, Dennis, what year did you buy your first ranch in Nevada?
1992.
I started
hanging around there. The place opened up in 55 illegally. They legalized the business in 72. I went in there in 76 with Andy Kaufman and Bob Zamuda, founder of Comic Relief.
Wow.
And that was our hangout. In about 78, Kaufman says, Dennis, buy this place and treat everybody like you and I are being treated. And in fact, I wrote all this in the book. And that was the goal. So he died in 84. I bought it in 92 and went on to make it the most famous place in the world. It was just a marketing exercise with me.
So you're coming up, you're 23 years now or something like that. Are there still people who are trying to drive prostitution out of the counties in which it is legal in Nevada?
Not in Nevada. Not in Nevada at all. And the Bunny Ranch is the example of how this business should be dealt with worldwide. America's got a huge problem. You've got an epidemic of sex trafficking in Los Angeles. It's just out of hand. I've got the answer. And I it's like the prohibition. Prohibition for liquor didn't work. Look what happens now. The liquor industry pays $6 billion in federal taxes, and it's controlled. It's licensed. Marijuana, that didn't work. That deal didn't work. Now it's turned into a profit center for these states, and it'll be a multi-billion-dollar tax revenue for.
But California doesn't need that money, so we're good.
Oh, California needs water.
We're all good.
They could use that money to buy some water from somebody.
Exactly.
So I guess my follow-up question to that then, Dennis, is if you feel like the business has become accepted in the state, why won't they let you move it closer to Las Vegas?
Well, because when they legalized in 72, the gaming cartel who runs Nevada, along with the miners, said, no, we don't want it in Vegas or Reno in those two counties because we're thinking family gaming and Disneyland and all that. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out too well. Now they're back to whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right?
Except it doesn't stay in Vegas. You bring it home.
Yeah, exactly. and so the business needs to be legalized, but no politician wants to put his name on it.
Is that the problem with the states that don't have it legalized and the counties in Nevada? It's just politicians don't want to stand up and say this is a good idea.
If they stand up and say it's a good idea, the next election, Jim Johnson for prostitutes, don't vote for him.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do to him.
But I would think the libertarian candidates and a lot of independent candidates would be all about this because it involves adults making decisions for themselves rather than the government telling them what they can and can't
You're
do.
You're absolutely right, except they don't want to ride the heat from the right wing or the little old lady. And the person that's for it, he's just going to get so much heat from everybody that it's not worth it. When I spoke at the
You think a politician literally could not exist and win an election if he has that stance?
Exactly. Yeah. And I spoke at the legislature 2 years ago. Joint session, everybody's there. I gave this brilliant speech. I opened it up to questions and answered, and everybody just stared at me like, Dennis, please, we love you. Just go away.
No questions.
Don't make me answer a question. and I do the things. Same thing at the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner. I'm there with all senators and representatives. We're talking, and finally it gets down to we agree on everything. And I did the same thing at Oxford. We agree on everything until it gets down to, well, you wouldn't mind being the first to stand up in front of your church group and
doing it publicly is a different thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's like Chris Rock told his greatest joke.
The reality is, look, I don't think there's any place in America that has more strip clubs than Las Vegas, right?
Right.
Your place would be as disruptive to Las Vegas as any number of 100 of strip clubs are. It's just a building on a road. That's all it is. That's the only impact it makes on the community, except it takes something that has been illegal and illicit and in the shadows and brings it out and lets the state make money from it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, you're absolutely you got it. You've absolutely nailed it, but it isn't going to happen anywhere in America, and it's sad because these politicians, by not dealing with the issue of prostitution, they're enabling the criminals. When you make something illegal, who gets in the business? The criminals. Right. The pimps, the underage girls are trafficked. It's out of hand everywhere in America. Got to be dealt with. And if your listeners, the ones out there that don't like what I do, would understand what's really happening, the reality of it, they'd be lining up to get to their politicians to say, fix this.
You've been fighting this battle for a long time. Do you think you'll see it?
I hope so.
Make any progress in your lifetime.
I hope so. I lobby in lots of states. I speak at a lot of universities, and I've spoke all over the world. And, like I said, I spoke at Oxford, Trinity College in Dublin, the Sorbonne a month ago. And that's on my tombstone. I wanted to say, best friend, fought sex trafficking, and world's greatest salesman. That's all I care about. So that's my
Dennis
legacy.
Hoff is our guest in studio. He is also the author of the new best-selling autobiography, by the way, called Art of the Pimp, A Love Story. He is here along with Chrissy Summers from the Bunny Ranch. We got a lot more questions for the gang, and we'll return right after this on K-Rock.
Here's what we learn about Dennis Hoff, is that when you get him on the show, he brings whoever he wants. He books guests.
Yes.
He brings them along. Most of the time, it's a surprise.
Who's your friend there, Dennis?
Well, I brought my little buddy, my bodyguard, Ron Jeremy, and who's a big part of the book.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. The hedgehog in the house.
I'm only here because Brad Pitt wasn't available.
but Bean, I got to tell you the truth. When at dinner last night, we were at Crossroads having dinner, and Ron heard we were coming here and just begged to go. There's nothing better. Yeah,
like Roger Rabbit. Please.
Tell him what you said.
Please. They're the tops in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
he's like, I got a green. This is K-Rock.
And you're always welcome on the show. We've had you on many times over the years. But I want to explore your friendship. How long have you guys known each other, Dennis?
About 20, 21 years now. Al Goldstein was the common denominator, the founder of Screw Magazine in New York. He introduced everybody. I mean, he knew everybody, introduced us all. And Ron and I, he's my little buddy. He's the little brother you never wanted to have. Yeah, that's Ron.
We used to hang out at different restaurants and clubs around L.A. It was you, me, Larry Flint. Yep. Al Goldstein, Joy Buttafuoco.
Yep.
Remember that?
Wow.
We called ourselves the Slime Pack.
The Slime Pack, yeah, at Joy Buttafuoco, that is slime.
We were all at the Friars Club one night, and Al Goldstein says, if lightning hits the building, who gets top billing here?
That's a great question.
Now, Rod, we haven't seen you. We tried to get a hold of you when you were in the hospital a few months ago.
Actually, it was 2 years ago.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah, you know, time flies when you're having fun.
how are you feeling? How are you doing? How's your health?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I had John Ritter unfortunately didn't succeed. I mean, he actually passed away from the exact same thing that I had. It's called
an aortic dissection.
No, though my heart's in great shape. It's the aorta.
Okay.
It's called an aortic dissection or aneurysms on the aorta. I mean, it's like a hose, and then it's springing leaks.
Right.
That's the thing.
And some of the reports that were coming out at the time, I know that if it's been 2 years, I apologize. It's old news for you, but I mean, it sounded very grim for a while.
Oh, well, the people like Albert Einstein, Lucille Ball, John Ritter, George C. Scott,
all of them,
the producer
same thing.
Of Boondock Saints, film I worked on. You know, these people all passed away from the exact same thing. You have to get to a doctor quickly. In fact, CNN called me a badass for driving myself to the hospital. I didn't wait for the ambulance. I just did it on my own.
Did it feel like a heart attack?
Yeah. See, I was always told by my, you know, I'm a Jewish boy, so half my family is doctors, and they said, if your hands and feet are tingling, and then you feel like an elephant sitting on your chest, those are the things you look for.
Okay.
And then I said, uh-oh, this doesn't look good.
So, you drove yourself.
Well, yeah. He's too cheap to get an ambulance.
Well, I mean,
that's probably
I'm not going to say that, but
listen,
you can.
It's hereditary, but the thing is, I could have pushed it back if I had been more careful with my blood pressure. So I'm always like trying to get the poster boy for telling people, first of all, it's free. Second, it doesn't hurt. It actually tickles. And most supermarkets carry it now, Walbaum, CVS Pharmacy. You know, you just get your blood pressure checked once every month or two, and you're going to save your own life, you know?
Did you have to change your diet or exercise as a result of that time in the hospital?
Yes, I had to stop seeing Dennis Hopp because he always feeds me too well. So.
Rod, we keep a blood pressure machine in every girl's room at the Bunny Ranch. So when they come,
just
when
in
Ron
case.
Comes to visit,
you call it a blood pressure machine.
how long did it take you to get back to work? And
how
I think
long?
You know what I mean.
How long? 9 3/4 inches.
No.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't help that way. Wait. I even bring my own sound effects. Again,
he
sorry about that.
He brought
a harmonica.
What is going on?
Dennis, the first one I hung out with afterwards. I had the aortic dissection, and then Dennis, you know, came out here to spend time with me.
Jerry Buss's funeral was my first thing. We speeded up his recovery. Jerry Buss, longtime friend, the owner of the Lakers, died. And so I was invited to the funeral, and Ron just had to go. I mean, he could barely walk.
My first outing. That was it.
First outing. We got into the funeral, and we're in the family celebrity section of the place, and Ron's going to sleep, and I'm like, Ron, stop. Everybody's taking your picture. They think it's a double funeral. Stop.
TMZ interviews me right there on the curb, right? And they said, well, you're able to have sex now. And the girl that was with us says, yes, he can have sex now. And I said, what do you use as a judge? If you can climb up a flight of stairs, you can have sex. So I climbed up 2 flights so I can have sex twice.
And so, ding dong, the girl who was with me was right next to you.
That was me, Ron.
You're making believe that she knew that.
Ron and I did not engage in anything. Well, that was my next question. Okay. Good.
But that's what you use as a judge. If you can climb up a stairs, then you're willing to have sex.
He couldn't do that before. What the hell are you talking about?
This is the first time in my life I have to walk up a flight of stairs.
If you're just tuning to the Kevin Abede Show, Dennis Hopp is here, who is a best-selling author and the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch, along with Bunny Ranch employee Chrissy Summers in studio and their good friend Ron Jeremy here on the Kevin Abede Show. Chrissy, I wanted to ask you, because you told us during the song about you're still working at the Bunny Ranch, but in a different capacity, right?
Yes, I'm actually doing public relations side of it. I'm no longer a working girl. I'm working.
Okay,
with
you were one of the girls, and we were fascinated to hear how successful you were as a girl. Please tell that story.
Yeah, I went there to pay off my school loans from the University of Michigan, $45,000. That's not a lot compared to most students out of college.
That's true.
But I had a partial scholarship, but I still couldn't afford my loan, so I ended up paying them off in 3 months. So
3 months.
3 months.
And had another 25,000 in the bank.
Yeah, I still had money put away. So, yeah, I paid them off in a really short amount of time. I went there for my goal, and I succeeded, and I was really happy about that.
And she was able to go on and go back, work on her master's, and now she's 12 months from a doctorate. And so it's an amazing stepping stone for her because she would not have been able to do that without the Bunny Ranch.
That's incredible. So Chrissy, what was it like for you? I mean, obviously, you're a very smart person. You're proving that with what you're doing now. But was it difficult for you to make friends, talk to people about what you did? Did you find yourself being judged? Was that unpleasant for you?
Yeah, it was unpleasant for me. I grew up in Michigan, and that's really conservative, and I grew up in a really religious home. If you go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I'm from, there's a church on every corner. They call it the Bible Belt of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was judged a lot, and I lost a lot of friends because of it. So, yeah.
Well, but she also... tell them about your extent of your sex life before you came to the ranch.
Well, I was going to wait till I was married to have sex, the good old Christian girl thing. I dated a guy for almost 3 years, and we only had sex once. So
you had sex one time when you started at the Bunny Ranch?
Yeah.
When she hooked up with me.
Yeah. Okay. His parents made us repent. Afterwards.
Wow. How
he told his parents.
Why would he tell his parents?
Because he's stupid.
Idiot.
Yeah, so he kind of shot himself in the foot. So, yeah. There's a lot of people that judge me for it, but
Ron, did you ever have any negative repercussions from the life of being an adult film star?
Very rarely. Usually people get a kick out of it. You know, there is a double standard that's out there, and it's not good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not, sure. We didn't create it, and it's a worldwide problem. You know, you raise your boys, go get them, son, make dad proud. He's just like his dad. Look at the little junior chasing all the girls. Then you raise your daughter, don't you dare. You wouldn't see a father go, hey, look, all the guys chasing Mary. Get the gun, get the gun, get the gun. That's a whole different attitude, so... That's, yeah, people, I've almost never had a problem. Dennis has seen it. I can recognize
a lot. And we never have, like, we were in New York, Heidi Fleiss, Ron, Jeremy, Chrissy, and I.
You have the best dinner parties.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much fun.
Slime pack. It's the first family, family of sex in America. And it's amazing, the response. I never get any negativity from anybody either.
No, we don't ever get negativity at all. Like, yeah, I get judged from the people in Michigan, but when we go out, we don't get negative stares or anything like that. Everybody's really nice.
The worst I would get is maybe, like, they go, don't you guys worry about diseases, or, you know, once in a while you might get somebody who say, don't you want to have a relationship, you know, what's your wife going to think years later,
or what's a nice girl from the Midwest hanging out with the first family of sex, Dennis Hoff and Ron Jeremy.
So you get a little, you get stuff once in a rare while, so it might happen, you know?
But especially like a question about your health and stuff like that, it's easy to answer because you guys are tested and you have health plans.
Well, the Bunny Ranch, it's since 1981. Every girl is tested every week. There's never any problems. And it's just another example of why you legalize, because in Las Vegas, they've now, where the business is illegal, they've now arrested their 1,000th girl, forced to take an STD test, working with HIV.
Oh,
1,000th girl. Okay, it's out of hand. And it's LA is the same way, by the way. It's a mess here. And that's why you legalize it. If I could just, I want to be down here with Ron and hang out. I love the weather. I come see you guys. I want to close down some of the Starbucks in LA.
I'll take it easy, Bunny Ranches.
Yeah, take it easy on our coffee. I think there are other places we can close first,
a Bunny Ranch,
but I'm with you.
A Bunny Ranch girl to go. Like,
you get a barista and then you go in the back.
I used to work at Starbucks.
Okay,
that's funny.
I'll have a double latte and a little side sex.
All right. Well, we're running out of time.
Okay.
We're running out of time. Let's talk about hookers for Hillary.
Hillary.
Is that a thing?
Well, you know, in the last election, we supported Ron Paul because of his states' rights views. We're very conservative, but the girls, 540 girls, we polled them, and they decided they wanted to vote for Hillary, hookers for Hillary, and I think Chrissy's got some of the reasons here.
Yeah, well, Hillary obviously has to answer for a couple of things. I'll put that out there right now. But
that's true of anyone you vote
for. Yeah, of course. So, well, one of the reasons the Affordable Health Care Act made health insurance available for purchase for the first time for legal working girls. Prior to that, they weren't able to purchase health care. So I think that's a really big deal because we pay into taxes just like any other job, and what we're doing is completely legal.
Imagine having a mid-six-figure income, making $500,000 a year at the Bunny Ranch, and not being able to purchase health insurance.
Yeah, and any Republicans likely to repeal it, if I felt like there was a good Republican in office, I would have no problem voting Republican.
Does Hillary want hookers for Hillary?
Probably not.
Well, her, you know, I think last year she might have got irritated because Bill ended up on the cover of National Enquirer with two of my girls.
Well, there's that.
The brother of Tony reached out to us, and he said, "If you have a function, I want to come to the ranch." And from my perspective, when Bill Clinton was in office, I made more money. I paid more tax. I was paying $1 million a year in income tax. And I want my president waking up over her Geritol and Post Toasties and asking the first man about the economy, because I like what he did with the economy.
And he made a lot of jobs available, too. A lot of.
Where we were last night actually is one of the biggest contributors to Hillary's campaign. You know, Steve Bing, who has Crossroads Restaurant. He's actually the Clintons' biggest campaign contributor.
Well, I don't think we'll be seeing that in ads for Hillary Clinton, but
Come on, Hillary.
Great points. I'm Hillary, and I approve this message.
Exactly. The book is available now everywhere books are sold or online. It's called The Art of the Pimp, A Love Story by author Dennis Hoff. He is the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Love Ranch. Great to see you in person, Dennis. Thanks for stopping by. Chrissy, delightful to meet you
as well.
And Ron, we're so happy to see you up and around. You're working? Everything's good? You're happy?
Yeah, everything's back to normal. Yeah, thank you.
But you're always welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Great to see all of
you guys.
Thanks for coming in.
It's great fun, and it's an honor to be here.
It is 8:54.
Rob Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Then, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after the top of the hour. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm getting business cards made up.
You're getting business
cards? Ralph Garman Brothel Tester.
Oh, I like it.
I didn't know that was the official title of the job that they're offering there at the Bunny Ranch. Brothel Tester.
Sounds like good work.
Goes with my amateur gynecologist T-shirt I used to wear down the Jersey Shore.
Mustache rides,
5 cents, you know, all that
collection.
Hilarious stuff. Yeah, you know.
You got the FBI shirt, too? You wear that one?
Yeah. Female breast investigator.
Body inspector, I think is the one I recall.
Was,
but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what Saturday is?
Saturday is
May 2nd?
2nd of May. Ugh. May 2nd?
Pacquiao Mayweather fight?
Ugh.
Something else? Kentucky Derby?
There we go.
Yay!
The Run for the Roses, baby. Sport of Kings. Horses. Running. Fast. And the best place to enjoy this is at the Santa Anita Park. Right there in beautiful Arcadia, California. It's going to be the K-Rock Microbrew Kentucky Derby Day Party. Featuring a performance from Seedless, great band. All the booze you could drink, all the food you can eat, and the ponies are going to be running, and you get to bet on the Kentucky Derby as well.
Ah.
It's going to be a great day out there at Santa Anita Racetrack. Infield opens at 11 a.m. That's where it's all happening. Stryker's going to be there. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Lightning, Super Steve, Nicole Alvarez. Our own Miss Double December will be there. Racing all day. I'm going to give away a four-pack of VIP tickets right now to this event. It's free admission for you and three friends, backstage access, drink tickets, and a $106 voucher to bet on the ponies with. All this can be yours if you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. The Microbrew Fest is open for all ages, so bring the kids, bring the oldies, the youngsters.
The oldies.
Sweat to the oldies. Do whatever you want with the oldies. Bring the whole family, but everyone is welcome and invited. So.
Give these fellas money to gamble. One fellow said, "I played a great horse the other day. Took 7 horses to beat him."
See, because the great Henny Youngman.
Why? Do you have that audio
I think Ralph was right yesterday when he said there's some spring cleaning
there
needed.
There needs to be just...
He's never played that, right?
No!
Okay, so how long have you had it, Bean?
I don't know. Probably 20 years. Kenny was still alive last time I loaded it up, I guess. But then horse racing comes up on the show, and I've got
it didn't help. Poorer for having not had that drop played
that did
on
not
it.
Help.
No.
And we were talking about horse racing.
And it still did not help.
Did not help.
That's how useless that particular clip is.
I feel good. I played golf today. I broke 70. A lot of clubs to break.
Wow.
Stop it. Stop playing Henny Youngman jokes.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Sweet Jesus.
You never know when something like that
I do know.
You can guess.
A little Jewish man gets hit by a car. They're waiting for the ambulance. The cop takes his jacket off, covers him. He says, "You're comfortable? Say, I make a nice living."
You're not helping.
I got She Bean. She's on my side.
She Bean is not helping. Stop laughing, Allie.
It's so tough. All right.
I promise I'm done.
This is
Miami Beach, the little Jewish grandmother supposed to take care of the Jewish grandson by the water. She turns her head away. A wave washes the kid way out. They call the lifeguard, the helicopter, the police. They finally grab the little kid. They bring him in. They pump him out for an hour. The kid starts to breathe again. The grandmother says he had a hat.
What?
He had a hat.
I don't even get that.
They brought him back without his hat.
Yeah, he saved the kid's
grandmother.
Life.
Where's the hat?
Complained about the hat.
That's funny.
Yeah, I don't think we need that anymore.
What's going on, showbiz, Ralph?
We're entering into a new world, boys and girls, of television. Netflix's influence on traditional TV networks like NBC is now being felt. Fascinating new experiment. David Duchovny's got a new drama called Aquarius, which is a cop show set in the 60s about a detective who's investigating the early activity of the Charles Manson family. I can't wait to see this. It debuts on May the 28th. That's its broadcast premiere. Following that premiere, NBC is going to release all 13 episodes and make them available online and for VOD viewing. You'll be able to binge watch this show after you watch the premiere on NBC.
Interesting.
It's the first time a traditional network has ever made an entire series available all at once for its viewers.
Are they going to show episode 2 on CBS?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because it's an NBC show.
NBC
so they would probably... I'm assuming they will keep it on the same network when you're watching television.
What I meant to ask is, are they going to air them each week?
Yes. Each episode will air in its regular time slot, but after its premiere episode, all 13 episodes will be available to binge watch from viewers who liked what they saw during the premiere.
So what this says to me, Ralph, and I agree with you, this is interesting. What this says to me is they are willing to sacrifice some potential viewership on the TV airings throughout the weeks and count the metrics of the people who are watching that on the computer, those who choose to binge watch. They're basically saying those two are both viewers and we'll take them wherever we can get them.
They're saying it doesn't matter who watches where now. Eyes are eyes and everything is weighted equally.
I like it.
Interesting.
So we'll wait and see. I don't know how you measure those metrics, though. How do you measure the... Is it just downloads? Is that how you...
I don't know.
Is it, you know, how many people are watching per computer? I mean, there's a lot of question marks that come up.
And then ad revenue is... That confuses me.
Well, I was trying to look in this article to see what the outlet was going to be for the availability online. Because it's NBC, I'm assuming it's Hulu, right? That's their partner online.
Yes, I would think so, too.
So it would probably be Hulu. And Hulu does have advertising.
Okay.
In its episodes.
Yeah.
And I guess unless you have Hulu Plus, then maybe if you pay for the extra service, maybe you get it without commercials.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how you break it down.
Probably getting paid either way.
The money will be made.
Yeah.
There's not a lot that happens in television and money is not made. So
if Lisa was listening to this show, I think we would all agree we'd love to have Mr. Duchovny on to talk about this.
Even
if he's not listening, we would love to have him.
Well, the odds are our producer is not listening.
Right.
But we would like to talk to Dave Duchovny. I'd like to talk to someone from NBC or from Hulu and talk about this situation.
It's a new way of doing it.
First time that broadcast television is allowing you to binge watch its episodes before they're aired on television. This could be a momentous decision. This could be a trivia question. When we're all watching television this way, somebody will say, what was the first show, do you remember, that you could watch? And Kevin say, oh no, but it was on NBC and CBS. I don't know why. So we would not ask Kevin for the answer to that question, I'll tell you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Do we have that new moment with Kevin?
Nope.
Do we have that chip? Can you rock that
Come
for me?
On. You were getting into the birthdays.
It just made me think.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage.
That's back rage. We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I'm guessing I meant backlash.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Back rage.
Yeah.
If they're not playing the Weenie Roast this year, I'm not going. I love back rage. Today's celebrity birthday is Adrian Pasdar is 50 years old today. Two guys from The Big Bang Theory, Johnny Galecki and Kunal Nayar, celebrate their birthdays. Johnny's 40, Kunal is 34. Kirsten Dunst, 33 years old. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, the new Superman v Batman movie. She is 30. And Diana Agron, you know her from Glee. She's 29. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple of weeks ago, Allie McKay
our beloved co-host here on the Kevin and Bean Show hatched a plan that sounded too nutty for me to comprehend. But Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the line, and he may be able to talk you through it, Allie, to decide whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Allie, any plan that Bean considers too nutty for him to comprehend has
true.
Got to be a bad plan.
That's true.
Let me explain. So we were discussing how Adderall, started off at little kids, whatever, ADHD, take it, everything's fine, blah, blah, blah. Then it kind of moved on to college students taking it to focus that didn't have a prescription, didn't have ADHD. Then it went into moms taking their kids Adderall so they can get stuff done while the kid's at school, do that. And now it's entered the workforce in such a huge way that all these people that maybe don't have ADHD are taking it just to get things done. And I said, well, I have always wondered if I had a bit of ADHD. Beer mug, you take Adderall. How does it make you feel?
No, to be fair, you said beer mug, flip me a few.
After he said, it calms me down. I get very focused, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, it's going to do one of two things. Speed me up. I'll lose a ton of weight. I'll look amazing. I'll get things done. Or self-diagnose myself with ADHD.
Allie doesn't need to be sped up, first of all. And that was my primary concern.
Probably a good
point. She is already bouncing off the walls. She's exhausting to be around, Dr. Drew. She's the last person I want to see on Adderall.
I can hear it.
It always makes me unbelievably fearful when people say, when I put a pill in my mouth, the only thing that can happen, it could be good. The only thing.
Well, there's two goods here, Dr. Drew.
But I have to address that particular idea.
Please.
Because we just live in a time when people think everything's going to be solved by a pill. I was raised by my dad was a family practitioner, and he hammered into my head, and I've made it a part of my practice ever since. Medications are dangerous. They're bad. They are only to be used when the risk is outweighed by the benefits that must be undertaken, that must be considered.
But what if you get those pills from Beer Mug?
Well, then he did say if it comes from Beer Mug, that's one exception.
His
there you
dad
go.
Has said it for
exception.
Years.
Said it for years.
No, okay. So I think, Allie, what we're seeing here is that the college kids who've been using Adderall to study for their chemistry exams are now hitting the workplace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They're continuing to use their little crutch where they can. I don't understand why colleges don't explicitly call using Adderall cheating. I don't understand that. Because
really?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, why is steroids for Lance Armstrong's cheating, and it's not cheating to take it in performance-enhancing drug in college. You're going to have to maintain that drug in order to maintain that level of performance, and it's ridiculous. So okay, it should be cheating. It is dangerous. It can precipitate manias. It can disturb your mood. It can cause addiction. It can create behaviors that might not otherwise be within your usual range of, usual frame. That thus explains Beer Mug. But it's unfortunate that most people, most young people particularly, have seen a kid take Adderall for long periods of time and seemingly either be benefited or at least be okay as a result. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous. That doesn't mean it's okay to take this serious. You know what the generic name of the drug is?
No. Mm-mm.
Dextroamphetamine. That's the generic name. It's an amphetamine, everybody.
I like it more already.
So, I mean, you could just have been using amphetamines all along here, everybody. Why not? It's a little less addictive, a little less harsh than methamphetamine, but it can do the same stuff. And I don't understand why, because somebody put a fancy label on it, suddenly it's like, hey, it's cool now. Now we can take this stuff. Dextroamphetamine. Come on now.
So, Doctor, are you seeing, as Allie suggested, an increase in abuse in workplaces across America?
I'm seeing increased abuse all over the place where people use it to enhance performance, whether it's at work or driving a vehicle or just getting through a long night or partying more. It's just sort of used as this casual analog. And I'm here to tell you that there will be consequences from it.
All right. Let me ask a serious question.
Yeah.
Who needs that more than me with this job? Right?
Yeah, you have a point.
Right?
And you've got a supplier right there.
Right?
And you have a cohort in Allie. She'll be doing an experiment on herself.
Right?
See, I feel like if Kevin and I took one, it would do exactly what it does to people with ADHD.
So then you would be able to tell
then
that you have ADHD.
Then we would know we had ADHD. We didn't have to go to a doctor.
It's an interesting idea.
Right?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. and it doesn't. It's not considered diagnostic if it doesn't speed you up, because there are subsets of people that just get, like addicts get sort of, oftentimes get sort of lulled by it a little bit. Like Mike Catherwood, he would do smoke meth and go to sleep. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's bizarre, right? But he doesn't specifically, has a little, but not specifically ADHD diagnosable. And I'm here to tell you that we should be thinking less about treating ADHD with pills and more about treating ADHD with behavioral interventions. Anyway, hard work, guys. Sorry about that.
No, that's not acceptable.
I want to ask you one question related to ADHD, and I told the guys this in the off-air meeting yesterday, Dr. Drew. I was driving downtown Seattle a few days ago, and I saw a handwritten poster that somebody had put up on a telephone pole that said these words. ADHD is a lie.
ADHD is a lie. Oh, well, that's an interesting, yeah, that's an interesting statement. And I'm not going to say it's specifically false, because people are beginning, and I mean by people, I mean academics, are beginning to conceptualize ADHD as perhaps just a symptom of other psychological or psychiatric conditions, and maybe not, it is considered its own diagnosis. And I think we would be at our peril to really eliminate it, because it's considered as such, has helped young people with
that. There
are
thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who have been diagnosed as ADHD,
right?
Well,
it's overdone. Okay, it's overdone in certain situations and underdone in others, but it's largely overdone, and it's really what bothers me, and this is my own personal opinion, is that people, my peers, don't look hard for other circumstances that might be creating this symptom. Trauma, chaos in the home, abuse, whatever. This doesn't mean mood disturbances, personality problems, even neurobiological disorders. They really, and those have oftentimes, guess what, psychotherapeutic interventions, and those are time consuming and those are expensive, and no one wants to do that.
Gotcha. All right, listen, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the phone. Of course, he's
so
the coast
she
of,
should or should not
yeah,
take
I,
beer
I don't
mugs.
Know where he stands.
I'm very confused.
After all this, you have to ask. Like,
he's saying no. He's saying don't.
How much? How many times do I have to say that?
What? It's a no, Kevin.
Did you say
no
yes?
From Dr. Drew.
I didn't catch
it's
it.
It's a no.
Dr. Drew is going to be on Love Line again tonight with Mike Catherwood. And I also wanted to mention next Tuesday night, I want to say, you and Mike both are going to be appearing on the live television show Undateable. And it's usually not live, but they're doing a live one-hour episode next week. What are you guys going to be doing, playing yourselves from Love Line?
I know he's going to be playing Bianca's sort of love interest, a little Rudy.
He was Rudy.
I'm playing myself in some sort of something happens there where I have to show up. And there's tons of other really like serious celebrity cameos. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that does sound like fun. All right. And Dr. Drew on call tonight at 6 o'clock on HLN, now with a live audience. So definitely check it out.
So you are a yes or a no on the Adderall.
If you can't tell, I'm a hard yes. I understand. I mean, it's hard for Bean to get his head around how crazy this is. Anything that is that is a yes.
Good. That's what I thought. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Right. That may be the best idea of the year.
Right?
Ralph?
Wow.
Yes. Right. All right. We can't say it yet.
No, I haven't even approached him about it yet. But
you just thought about it.
Just thought
second.
About it as I'm walking so good. Down the hallway. And I saw him and I was like, wow, of course.
All right. We might have some news for you tomorrow on something that's very special to us. I know we're being vague here, but yes. I promise you it'll be worth it. Okay. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
I just can't get over this interview that Kirsten not having the music through me. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my bad.
Kristen Stewart gave an interview with the UK version of Harper's Bazaar magazine. And in that interview, she first of all complained about the entertainment business, working in movies, and how tough that is. Because, you know, it has been hard for her. She's been doing it since she was 12 or something.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
So she really had to work long and hard to finally break in. But she says regarding show business, women invariably have to work a little bit harder to be heard. Hollywood is disgustingly sexist. You know what? There could be an argument made there. Sure. Absolutely. The part that gets me is the next part. Regarding her celebrity. Fame is the worst thing in the world, she says. Fame is the worst thing in the world.
It's worse than Ebola, worse than AIDS, but I guess
yes.
Just if it's the worst thing in the
it
world,
wins.
I guess it's automatically worse than
that's
all those
right.
Things. Yeah.
And you know, and there's people right now, they got a response. It was a statement from some people in Nepal who said, you know what? You're right. We're lucky we're not famous. We're so happy we're not famous. All we have to do is put up with this because that's all. Sorry for you.
Yeah.
K-Stew.
worst thing in the world. I just want to hit her with a snow shovel right in the back of the head.
Give her something to compare being famous to.
Famous. Worse or better than that? Than a snow shovel to the back of the head. Ridiculous. Hey, Patrick Dempsey just lost his sweet gig on Grey's Anatomy. So I guess he's got to cut back on expenses. Apparently he just put his home up for auction. Not auction, but for sale. He's got a place in Malibu he's looking to unload. So anybody interested in a place by the beach?
Sure, it sounds great.
I haven't even told you about it yet.
It's in Malibu.
It's on fire and it's made of poop.
Oh, well.
See, if I'd said that, then you wouldn't have been
What's
so happy.
What's the cost, though?
What's it going to set me back?
Sure, because I might have to tear it down, but...
Place in Malibu, 5,500 square feet of living space, ocean views, a rock climbing wall. You got to have one of those in your home.
Sure.
A pool, a barn, a pasture, 3.2 acres to stretch out in.
I didn't know there was a barn. You got my attention.
Now, see? What do you say? Yeah.
I'm in.
What are you guessing? What are you guessing? Malibu, barn, pasture, 3.2 acres, rock climbing wall.
11.5.
Ooh, you're close. Huh? That's pretty good.
Thank
pretty
you.
Good.
90265 represent.
Stop it.
Is that Malibu?
Yeah.
You're okay. A little south. You're a little south of the actual price.
Though. Okay.
Although, this is asking. You could probably get that for what you just said.
Thank you.
$14.5 million.
Oof.
For one home to live in.
Yeah. And it's most likely his second home or third or fourth?
Well,
I don't know how that works, but...
I don't know, but he's $14.5 million.
What?
I mean, that's 11 years of primetime network hit
yeah,
money.
Yeah, that'll do it. But still, I don't know. I don't know if I'll... I guess you get desensitized to it. I guess it's a matter of perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to me when I hear prices like that, I don't know if I could ever be rich enough that wouldn't bother me to pay that kind of money for a single dwelling.
But don't you think because you're thinking about it based on what you make now?
Like, right,
if you
said,
had $150 million,
perspective.
Then 14 is... Not all that much, I guess.
And he probably bought it at $6 million.
Well, when you put it that way.
Sure. Yeah.
When it was just
I mean,
$6 million?
Come on.
All right, then. Big advertising news. Big brouhaha. Emphasis on the brew. Do you see this thing, Bud Light? They have these things on their bottles now, Bud Light. It's supposed to be, I forget the campaign slogan, but it's like, are you up for anything? Bud Light, it gives you wings or something.
Nope,
I forget exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be how Bud Light will change your life. You drink Bud Light, you're out in the town, your whole life will open up. You play human-sized Pac-Man, and you just everything's great.
And seeing as how they're the sponsor of the Bud Light side stage at the K-Rock Weenie Roasted Fiesta 2015, everything is great, right, Ralph?
I agree. Bud Light is the best beer in the world.
And that's the only story you're going to give us. That's how great they are.
That's all I was
going to
say.
Their campaigns all are spot on target.
No, I was going to say how some people overreact.
Good.
So anyway, the gig is they put advertising slogans and little funny little sayings on their bottles and cans now. So when you go out, you can read the bottle like they do in the commercial, and it says something entertaining.
Right.
One of the bottles said, Bud Light, the perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night. To which I take it as limitless potential. I'm going to say yes to everything, and I'm going to be open to all the possible experiences I'm going to have tonight out there in the world partying and having a good time with my friends.
Right.
That's
there
how
enjoy
I see
myself.
It.
Right.
Right.
Loosen up a little bit.
Well,
have some fun.
That's not how a Democratic congresswoman saw it. Nita Lowey asked her Twitter followers to protest because she said that the slogan was basically another phrase for date rape.
That is insane.
Madness.
That is not what they were suggesting.
That's what... Of course not. But how could someone read that and then make that connection?
The latest in a long line of people who are looking for ways to be offended.
The perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night. Obviously, that means you're willing to be open to any experience that comes your way. To say perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night, that's going to let some guy take advantage of you. Is madness.
Yeah, that is madness.
But maybe it should have gone through some channels where somebody said, maybe you could
obviously
look at it that way.
Obviously, it did go through channels and nobody saw it that way. Huh. I mean, obviously, Bud Light's not out to offend their customers.
You wouldn't
That's
think.
That's ridiculous.
No.
So now Anheuser-Busch has pulled the bottles, pulled the slogan, and they are apologizing profusely, saying that that version may have missed the mark. And so they're doing all the right things. But I just feel we live in such a just an overly sensitive, persnickety time where everybody's just such a baby.
Do you think that she actually thought that a company would advertise that?
Right.
I mean, how does
what
that...
should we do to separate ourselves from the pack, fellas? You know, there's a lot of beers out there. What if we become the beer of date rape, sir? Excellent idea.
That's crazy.
Let's get the marketing boys on that, because they don't have their own beer.
Well, you know
what's wrong with people?
They had the meeting and they said, can any reasonable person be offended by this? And they went around the room and everybody said no. But they forgot about congresspeople.
That's right, because they're not reasonable people.
That's exactly.
They're just douchebags. Ugh.
Well, I'm going to drink extra Bud Light at the meeting this year.
I'm going to take it in every possible orifice.
All right, we don't need
I
that.
Don't, I'm no, going to have bottles we don't sticking need that, out of me left and right.
We don't need that kind of detail.
I'm going to look I'm going to look like that Hellraiser character.
Pinhead.
I'm going to have so many bottles of Bud Light sticking out of me, you're not going to know where to touch me. You'll be afraid. You'll get bottled.
All right, I hope that's true.
Well, it's going to be true. Real quick, advertising thing, too, again, one more time. McDonald's, which is also a fine product, and I enjoy their food enormously. Right. They've got this new thing, Create Your Taste. Have you seen these kiosks? It's like an advertising stunt.
No.
They have these kiosks where you can build your own burger.
Okay.
Using all the McDonald's ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So Moshe Tomsat in Chicago decided out he was going to use the kiosk to create the perfect burger, which was you pick and choose from this kiosk on the screen, on the touch screen, what you want to do. And it's got limits to how much you can put stuff on there. But he found out you can get 2 quarter-pound patties, and then you can get 10 of each possible condiment. So you put 10 slices of cheese on it, 10 slices of pepper jack cheese, 10 strips of bacon, 10 pieces of lettuce, et cetera, tomatoes, onions, guacamole, tortilla strips, jalapenos, grilled mushrooms. The total cost of the burger came to $890. But McDonald's was so impressed by his creativity, they adjusted it to $24.89. The burger weighed nearly 4 pounds when he was done, and he said it was the best burger he ever had. So
he couldn't pick it up either, by the way. If you saw it, it's like it goes a foot into the air.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
It was a comedy burger, but it sure looked tasty. Then you wash it down with cold Bud Light.
Boom.
See? Boom. That's boom. A meal. That's a meal right there. I'm going to go have that right now. And some Adderall.
I think that was a no on the Adderall.
Oh, no on the Adderall?
Was it a hard no? Because I tweeted Dr. Drew and just to ask. But
today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Pasdar is 50 years old today. Johnny Galecki from The Big Bang Theory is 40. His co-star, Kunal Nayar, is 34. Kirsten Dunst is 33 years old. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman in the new Superman v. Batman movie, is 30. And Diana Agron from Glee turns 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Ryan Sheckler on the program. We have writer-director Kevin Pollak in the studio. We've got the fight covered. It's Mayweather-Pacquiao. And we're going to talk to R.J. Bell in Vegas, who's going to tell you how to bet on it. And then we're going to talk to Beer Mug. Now,
is there any back rage against the fight, Kevin? Do you know?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe there's any back rage, no.
Now, how long,
front
is,
rage,
how long has Beer Mug been in Vegas? Because I don't think any of us have heard from
him. 2 days?
2 days.
Yeah. So gone yesterday, gone today.
So we're hoping to get
update
what from
now,
him.
We have heard from him because he did tweet yesterday that he was getting ready to demolish a Shake Shack. So he is eating well in Las Vegas. We know that much.
Okay.
He's going to the final press event, which I believe is today.
And he's going to interview Mayweather or Pacquiao?
Or the guy who sweeps up the ring before the fight. He may get him. Might get an exclusive with him. I don't know why we sent him or what we're hoping to get out of this question.
I don't know either, honestly.
Other than he got a free trip to Vegas. That's all I know. Yeah. And that seems ill-advised.
So that's tomorrow morning, plus Movie Beat, because it is Friday.